All right, yeah. Two lights.
There's a couple more.
Yay! Hello, lights.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Seventh session. pencils, I think, are on the table. Everyone gets... All right, so last time on Dungeons & Dragons, you guys kind of split up and did your own thing. Frank gambled, quickly becoming the life of the gambling hall, catching the eye of the dwarven suitor. So she had some rebound sex.
palate cleansing.
I like that better. I'm actually going to change my notes. palate cleansing. Sex.
What are you trying to say about Norman?
Well, just,
leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
That's what you're saying. They didn't have sex.
So, it's just, you know, you get used to something and you gotta wash it all away and be ready for the next thing.
Even if you just sleep.
I had to wash that man right out of my hair.
Punching Shadow Moss went to find more information about the Blight, badgering dock workers and discovering an order of drow who protect it. He also determined the best way to get the Blights by boat, so Punchy goes to arrange transport, finding a captain who's willing to take them. She tries to get the Punchy discount. And the captain does offer them a discounted rate, which Punchy pays up front.
Yep.
Braxis goes and talks to the assassins, dropping the high assassin that he met in Krailson's name to get in to see a higher-up. He pledges himself into their service, and perhaps unwittingly draws some attention on him and the rest of the group. Noman went and talked to Yurig, a monk at the local monastery. Yurig gave him some information on the Blight and encouraged him to buy some holy water. Noman also made it known that he's jealous of Kel for getting the praise of Yurigil.
No, I just want him to be slightly beaten up.
Also, just so you know, Ravi, Kel is sitting right there on the couch. That's, Matt plays Kel.
Matt plays Kel.
Awkward.
Does everybody know he's on call?
Yes.
So there's a beeping noise.
Yeah, but we will. If you have to do it.
If there's a beeping
noise. If there's a beeping noise, obviously, do your job.
Yeah.
Altair goes to the Wizard's Tower and talks to an aloof witch with a penchant for necromancy. She buys a scroll of Scorching Ray and then heads back to the cult library to research the Blight some more. Everybody but Fred meets back up with the Weary Scoundrel. So, then you guys head off to the boat to head towards the Blight and quickly find out that the first boat left along with Punchy's money. So he purchased patches in a second boat and headed north. On the boat ride, Frigg let Punchy win at dice, trying to keep Punchy's mood up. And also befriended Willamette, the Shadow Moss's dog, who confesses that she ships Punchy and Shadow Moss. Noma does a bunch of fun monk acrobatics on the ship, which Punchy keeps trying to disturb. The group sails past the Panoply of Bone, a monument of all the orcs that were slain in a mass orc genocide. Shadow Moss distracts Punchy from that with a 3-foot-long salmon. Then you guys came along a slightly damaged boat that had taken Punchy's money. Punchy goes into a rage and decides to raid the boat. The group quickly follows along, doing what you can to mitigate the damage. You're able to prevent Punchy from killing everyone in the ship or commandeering the ship. Instead, just getting a bunch of money and a cask of ale instead. Punchy leaves
and
the captain.
Humiliating the captain.
Punchy, as I say, Punchy leaves the captain hanging from one of the masts with their pants pulled down. Finally, you guys get dropped off along the coast, arriving at a shack on the edge of the woods where you decide to make your camp. You're badgered throughout the evening by spies of Flavi taking the form of woodland critters. You eventually go to set all of them on fire, but the creatures disappear. Next evening, as you make camp, a will-o'-wisp tries to lure Shadow Moss, but she has none of it. The wisp comes in and starts attacking Shadow Moss, but the group wakes up and kills it and decides it's best to travel during the day or during the nighttime in the future. You guys sleep there the next day, and then that evening you make it to the Blight, hearing the sounds of some unnatural creatures in the distance. And there you are met by Akechita, a member of the Circle of the Moon.
Could you spell that real quick?
Yeah, Akechita.
It's called Sneeze Lady.
Sneeze Lady? Oh, gosh.
Akechita.
Akechita. Sounds like a sneeze.
Mm-hmm. A member of the Circle of the Moon. She is pleased that you would all volunteer to help with the Blight and offers to lead you to her home. And that is where we'll pick up today's session. It is the Third of Fools, 1632. Shortly after midnight, a nearly full moon is hanging in the sky as you guys wander through the eastern Carthalian forest. Dark woods, kind of falling along the edge of the blight. Unnatural noises and strange lights come from the blight. Akachita kind of steers you a safe distance away from it as they as you guys make your way to her village. Along the way, she tries to get to know you all a little better and asks, "So what brings you to the blight in the first place?"
"We're on a mission from Lilith to stop it."
She says, "Oh, Lilith, that's not who we'd expect."
"A couple of us are from a Lilith, and some of us just think that this sort of crap shouldn't happen to perfectly good woodlands."
"I mean, what do you think the odds are that these monsters are going to, like, have monetary value?"
"Is it always about money with you?"
"I mean, apparently so are my odds, and there's gambling, too."
"Sometimes you just have to do what's good for the world."
She says...
"That's so full of shit."
I feel like Shadow Moss just, like, drops everything and looks, like...
"Just throw some of your moss in his face. He's bullshitting everybody right now."
"Wait, do you actually carry moss? Is that why you..."
"I mean..."
"He reached out here."
"Oh, fuck yeah, it's canon now!"
"Well, it's canon. My pubic hair is moss."
"Oh, God.
Also, I would like to point out, I ripped that shit out without changing expression."
It's an impressive.
Yeah. "It's an impressive feat."
"Yeah. Unless you're just storing extra down your pants."
"It's like a decoration."
She says, "So I'm just gonna." She says, "I'm just gonna note vary for your reasons."
"Yeah. Are you taking notes?"
She says, "Mental notes." "Yeah." She says, "So have any of you ever been into the Eastern Carthel Forest before?"
No.
She says, "Well, if you see any lights, don't follow them." She says, "Most of the things that are left in these woods, at least on this side of it, are out to get you."
"Yeah, we've encountered a lot of that before we found you."
She says, "And you made it through." She says, "That bodes well for whatever journey you're on."
"We ain't dead yet."
"I mean, every day you can wake up and say that."
"Yes.
So you can."
Caitlin came out there first.
Altair's gonna be extra, like, nihilistic and angry today, isn't she?
I don't know. Altair's been through some shit recently.
Yeah.
I felt like that was
in line with character.
Altair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just playing myself a little more.
As you guys are walking, suddenly bark forms up around her skin. She says, "Wait here a second." And she, like, jumps up into a tree and disappears into it.
"Did you see that?
I was ready a scorching ray. Is there anything going on around us?"
Dead silence in the woods.
"Do I sense any evil? Or whatever the hell I do?"
Yes, you do. You detect some small fiend creatures, like, maybe, what's the range on it? 60 feet, I think?
That sounds right.
It's just, like, right in the periphery of that, whatever the range is. Like, okay. Behind you, like, apparently following.
"Okay. I'm gonna watch her back, but not really say anything."
Mm-hmm. Okay. A few moments later, you hear a loud cracking sound as a branch above you kind of falls to the ground, and she jumps down out of the tree. False alarm! False alarm!
"Really? Because there's something still back there."
She says, she looks at you and kind of notices your holy symbol for the first time. She says, "What do you sense?"
"I don't remember."
"Small fiend creatures."
"It's small, it's fiendish, it's like 60 feet that way. I think it's been following us for a while."
She says, "The Watcher's in the woods," she says. She says, "Flavi has many agents in these woods. Small creatures, often appearing as woodland critters, bats."
"Okay, are we gonna kill it, or are you just cool with it being there?"
She says, "Strike down one, two more pop up in its place, it seems like," she says. "You can scare them off for a bit, but..."
"It's like Yeoman's Frog. There's not much you can do."
"Are they dangerous?"
She says, "They don't pose." She says, "Not physically." She says, "All they do is gather information for their dark master."
Is there a way to keep them from spying on us?
She says, when we get to the right village, she says, it's warded against them. She says, we'll be safe once we get there.
Okay. Will there be any chance to learn about that warding?
She says, I like you. You have a thirst for knowledge.
But she's, maybe we should keep conversations to a minimum until we're within the ward if there's a spy on us. We don't want them to know about it.
She says, that's not a bad idea. She says, She says, keep anything pertinent away from your lips. She says, how's the weather? And starts walking back through the woods.
Do I know dwarven marching songs?
And Elvish. Yes.
I start singing dwarven marching songs at the top of my lungs.
I happily join in!
Would you care to start them off?
Which one are the dwarven ones?
Do-wee-o.
Do-wo.
Do-wee-o.
Do-wo. That's the only dwarven marching song.
It's the only one we need.
Yeah.
We don't need any more.
I pull out my flute.
She's like, brilliant. She says, that will keep them away.
It did good.
All right, so.
It did something. You always are helpful, Archie.
I should learn to buy some cotton buds.
Do you need some moss?
No, I don't.
I'm going to give you an inspiration for that if you don't have it. All right. That's pretty good. One for you. Mossy in the first place, but I think you still have yours. Yeah. But by the way, raise your hand if you do have inspiration, just so I know.
Doubtful. Nope.
So, no? Okay. Alright, so, you guys spend a few more hours walking through the woods, singing dwarven marching songs. Eventually, Akachita gets the hang of them and actually starts singing along with them.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
How tall are you, Praxis?
5'7".
5'7", I'm 4'11". Whenever I see you giving that face, I'm going to make sure I'm walking next to you. And I would give you what is normally a shoulder slap, but it's actually just like a hard slap to the kidneys. It's okay, buddy.
Can you reach up? I'm on the horse.
Oh, snap!
I'm allowed to do that. Am I riding something?
I think we're all riding something. Time to play.
Yeah, your horses that we continuously forget about.
Poor underappreciated sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Poor not yet meat.
Oh, yeah.
Not yet meat almost got sold last time, guys. Yeah. I'm still a little upset about that.
We talked him out of it. His ex-wife is rich now. He can get some alimony.
I threw some his way.
Should have had a prenup. I know that we brought all the horses and animals. Did we bring the carriage with us on the boat?
Or yeah, did we talked about that. We have loot and the cart.
Yeah, because we still have the cart with the ale.
All of our new supplies.
You're right. That grape just tasted like water.
Sorry, if you don't have an inspiration, Okay.
Right.
They're not very flavorful. They're very... water.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think it picked poorly
because
the things are limp too.
Sounds bad when they're limp.
All right,
so you arrive.
Moving on.
So after a few hours, you see lights. Not like torch lights. Actually, kind of like it's like a phosphorescent moss that's sort of growing on these trees, illuminating a large kind of clearing in the woods inside of which. Are a bunch of wooden houses and bridges kind of going between the trees. And you know, as you look up, you see there's just tree houses everywhere above you.
Is the sun rising
this
now?
This is beautiful.
No, it's still a few hours before sunrise.
How tall is Akatira? She's like 7.5 feet tall, right?
She's like 6.5.
Is she walking?
Yeah, she's walking. She's keeping up easily, though. Her it seems like her speed is unnaturally quick.
No, that's what not. I ride up to
her. She's a drow.
And pull on her a little bit. Hey, is there any chance I could take a sample of this? It's very interesting.
Of the phosphorescent moss?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Chaz, it seems like you have moss and spades in this party. Go ahead.
I don't know if hers glows or not.
Not to be obnoxious about the time, but as my understanding, we met her around midnight, mm-hmm. and we walked for several hours, mm-hmm. but it's still several hours before dawn.
Yeah, it's sunrise probably isn't until about 5:36 in the morning.
Okay, what is your definition of several? Mine is 5 to 7.
Oh, several for me is like 2 to 3.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
A couple is 2, several is 2 to 3.
Okay.
You know what's funny? When I was a kid, my mom made cinnamon rolls. And I said, how many can I have? And she says, you can have a couple. I said, well, how many is that? She says, it's a couple. I said, 2, 3? She's like, it's less than several, but you can have a couple. She wouldn't give me a straight answer, so I ate 3, and that was apparently the wrong answer. So.
She set you up.
She did.
All right, I would like to talk to Akachita at some point while we were walking towards the prettiness.
Yeah.
So it seems that noise doesn't really trigger whatever lives around here. It's fine to just make noises and no little or big nasties come.
She says, it depends on the big nasties. Okay. She says some of them are attracted to noise. She says some of them are attracted to other things. She says, there's creatures that are attracted to a person's magical prowess, to certain types of creatures. She says, to fire, to ice. She says, to intelligence. She says, it just depends. Just depends on the type of creature and depends on what it is.
Interesting. She says, so there's no, like, specific things that we should avoid doing.
She says,
No.
No.
For future reference, the cats are being adorable.
They're fighting and now they're licking each other. Now they're fighting again.
Zelda's kicking Link's ass. Is what's
and Ruby, Ruby and I are very cat deprived, so we are enraptured.
Oh. All right, so.
Are you going to get two?
So is the Circle of the Moon a drow settlement or a mixed settlement?
She says we're open to anyone, but she says we're primarily drow. She says, as you guys get to the edge of the community, you actually won't make perception checks.
Is that a deep
gun? Am I going to perceive cats?
Yes.
17.
9.
Natural 1.
9 plus, what is it? Plus?
8. Zelda. I mean, nine I have a 15 passive, but I rolled a 1.
Zelda.
14.
All right, so did anybody get 15 or higher?
Does one count, or do I do the 15 or the what? Which do I go?
You have advantage on?
Not passive.
I have passive.
No, your
perception.
Passive doesn't count.
Oh, your
passive.
Okay, what does passive count, or what does it work for?
He would roll your passive.
Okay.
Oh, passive is just what your typical default is.
Okay.
Is your passive perception 15?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you see this too.
Okay. Hey.
So anyway, there's like 6... drow also, so actually, remember Akashita, she's just wearing a loincloth and nothing else. And so 6 more drow kind of dressed similarly, like they've kind of silently come up behind you guys.
Hi.
And they say, Akashita, who are these people?
I assume I noticed them now.
Yes. Yeah, you know, the rest of you though, yeah, you are a little surprised as there's suddenly 6.
What was the
just to see them as they're coming in.
What was the DC though?
15.
Oh, I saw them.
It was just to determine if your character is surprised. anybody here speak Elvish?
Yeah.
I think most of us.
Not me.
Common in Elvish, yeah.
Alright, so in Elvish, Akachia says, she says these are folks that are trying to go to the Blight. And they say, well, what kind of fools would do that? She says, these fools, apparently.
I can understand her.
You can understand Alvin?
Oh.
When he says it.
Oh, sorry. She's like, I feel like I'm getting the gist of it. And she says their god has sent them.
Wow.
And they kind of relax. Their big worry was that you guys had like captured her and were forcing her to lead you into the city. Oh. So they just wanted to make sure that wasn't the case.
Surely so elves would have like a secret symbol for help by being attacked.
help by being oppressed. Come see the violence inherent in the system.
Akachita says, elderberries. Anyway, she says, don't worry about this. She says she just wanted to make sure that we're all safe. This isn't common to you guys now. She says, come on, you should Wandering Knoll should be awake by now. You should meet her.
Wandering
Knoll? Is she the one who can teach me about the perimeter ward?
She says, perhaps, yes.
Okay.
All right, so you guys head, are led into the center of this village. In the center of the village is a tree. So the trees in this forest are pretty, like, Midwestern tree foresty, kind of like, you know, typical coniferous, or sorry, deciduous, deciduous trees. You know, regular kind of, you know, decent size. However, in the center of this forest is a sequoia-type tree. Like, ooh. One that is incredibly large and towers over all the other trees.
How big is this village?
This village? Like, are you, like, talking about population-wise or geographical area? It probably is quarter mile diameter.
Mm-hmm. Curious as to where they're growing all their food and the kind of livestock and all that. But if it's a quarter mile diameter,
they actually they do not have any agriculture. That is true. And you guys are led to the center of the village where this giant tree is. You notice that there is none of this bioluminescent moss on this tree. However, once you get closer to it, you can feel a palpable energy radiating off of it. A very positive energy.
Interesting.
Do you have detect magic?
Mm-hmm. But I don't have it.
I have detect magic, but I assumed that there would be magic everywhere because of the light. Like, how does it work with background magic with this sort of thing? Because that is something that I was interested
in. You can filter out the background magic.
Okay. Well, I don't even feel like I need to because I know how pretty this tree is and how special.
There's a small hut, very plain and unadorned, near the base of it. And sitting in front of that hut is a very old drow woman. Kind of dressed in the same style as Akachita. She has long, so drow have like very dark skin and very like platinum white hair. She has long platinum white hair that goes down like past her feet. And she's kind of sitting there, cross-legged. And it appears to be some sort of meditative trance.
Akachita, can I go touch the tree? Is that okay?
She says, with her permission.
Should I wait till she's done?
The old woman says, there'll be no need, she says. I'm finished.
Can I say hi to your pretty tree?
She says, you may.
Shadow Moss will scamper like a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. when you place your hand upon it, you are filled with a positive energy. You gain 10 temporary hit points.
What?!
Okay, so I'm not gonna do that, but I was going to, like, read the room and see if I could go up and keep my hands behind myself and look at the tree really closely. I wasn't gonna touch it, though.
Yeah. I'm just... Punchy! Come feel this! It's amazing!
Does my divine sense pick up anything? Because I can feel powerful good.
Yes, you feel a very powerful good emanating from this tree. Like, incredibly powerful.
Wait, once you get close to it, can you resist touching it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you go up to the
table? Oh, yeah.
Excuse me.
You feel just this warm, like, cinnamon sugary feeling inside of you.
Ooh.
And you get 10 temporary hit points. So there's a spot right there.
All right, well, powerful good rings like heavenly music in my ears. I probably want to touch it, too.
Yes, this is singing a song, like a lullaby, like that you heard in your childhood. It puts you at ease. And do you touch it?
Yes.
As the drow watch a bunch of strangers coming up on that tree.
They don't seem surprised at all about this.
I'm just chattering to it in Gnomish, like, oh my goodness, you are such a pretty tree.
Braxis, Altair, Norman, how do you react to this? These three touch it, and they all kind of, like, their eyes widen, and, like, they, involuntarily smile.
I go talk to the woman and say, what the heck are they doing? You know what is happening.
She says they're communing with the tree.
Is it communing back with them?
In a way, yes, you could say that. She says,
is that dangerous? Or?
She says it is not. She says, to those that are good at heart.
Yeah, somebody needs to sit this one out.
She says, She says, perhaps you should go put your hand upon it and see it for yourself.
I have become a skeptic, I think.
So she said those that are good at heart. Mm-hmm.
Isn't punchy neutral?
It's not, as long as you're not evil.
I was going to say, lawful neutral is what I am, so I don't expect it to work for me.
Do you touch it anyway?
You're not good at heart.
You feel full of this radiant energy. It feels like the first time you cast a spell. Like that relief of like finally making something from nothing with your mind. Okay. And you get 10 temporary hit points. All
right, cool.
Do you touch the tree more enthusiastically?
I mean, Shadow Moss is basically hugging it full on. Like,
it depends on the answer, though. You can't double temporary hit points, can you?
No.
So do I just not get them, or do I just replace the old ones with that?
How many do you have before?
I have 8.
You get 10.
Why do you still have temporary hit points?
Because I cast Mage Armor every morning when I wake up.
Oh, ever. Okay. Gotcha.
And it gives me temporary hit points.
Okay, I didn't remember.
Raxus Noman, you guys stay keeping your distance?
No, I don't think I would touch the tree.
I don't think I would either. I think I'm still worried by my previous experience with that.
And I'm unclear of how evil I truly am.
What are you?
You don't want to have it verified.
Chaotic.
Chaotic. Neutral.
Right. I mean, I don't think it'll hurt you.
Jason, it wouldn't, but it just...
You both get an inspiration point for just doing something detrimental to your character, but in character. So.
Nice.
Okay. Once I am done loving all up on the tree, I want to go up to... What's her name?
Wandering Knoll.
Wandering Knoll. Say, thank you. It was lovely to meet your tree. I'm so glad to have met it.
She mirthfully laughs. It's okay. She says, everyone feels that way when they first meet you. She says, my name is Wandering Knoll, and welcome to the Circle of the Moon.
Thank you.
Is that the name of the place, or is it the name of your tribe?
Both. It is both things. Hmm. She says, and this is our most revered tree, she says.
Does she have a name?
She says... Perhaps, but it'd be something incomprehensible to our tongues, she says. She is a conduit to from this world to the next world, she says. She's the home of our ancestors and the future home of our sons.
So, wait, have you guys been here, like, forever then? Or do you move your tree with you?
She says, no, we've been here for over 1,000 years.
Oh, so you've seen the blight from the start.
She says, yes, it's true. And in fact... She says, the blight affected our tree as well.
If you've been here for 1,000 years, do you have any recorded history of something like a blight earlier?
She says, no. She says, this was the first time something like this had happened. She says, we thought all hope was lost, she said, but then 2 travelers came to our village. She says, Eager Wolf and Ponderous Goat.
Those are good names.
She says, and they risk their very souls to bring our tree back from the brink of oblivion. She says, and now it is thriving. She says, and that means I can die happy.
What happened to these travelers?
They moved on afterwards, she says. They were only here for a fortnight. She says, wandering do-gooders.
Like us.
Like us!
You're stretching it a bit.
She says, "Have you had a bite to eat yet?" She says, "Surely the road has been hard."
We haven't.
She says, "I was just starting my breakfast." She says, "Join me if you would be so kind."
And I would be delighted.
So she walks you over to sort of an open air pavilion with a bunch of tables around it and a big cauldron in the center of it that several drow are stirring.
What crops do you raise?
She says, we forage everything. We eat nuts and berries, she says, made primarily. She says, though, we do also hunt.
Are there things to eat in the Blight that are safe?
She says, no, not in the Blight. She says, but in the woods east of here, she says, it is safe to eat the food you find. She says, once you walk into the Blight, though, you can eat nothing. So she pours you... It's actually this kind of, it's this big pot. It's stewed kind of fruits and nuts. It's kind of almost in a kind of a thick honeyed paste that she kind of pours out into a bowl for you guys. gives you some like kind of hard, kind of crackery type bread to spread it on.
So it's like really thick, warm chutney?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shadow Moss is in heaven.
Shadow Moss might never leave.
But she is not. I'm strongly considering becoming an eagle and sleeping in the tree. That's all I'm saying.
So as you guys start tucking into your breakfast, she says, Akachita tells me that you're sent here by some deity.
Lilith, I'm on a mission from God.
Okay, she's on a mission from Lilith.
As is Altair, who is Lilith's chosen one.
Altair, do you think you're on a mission from Lilith?
I'm here to collect loot and spell components. And, you know, kill things that are evil. That's important.
But she's here.
You're all here, she says. She says, so describe to me. She says, what is your mission?
Yes, that's fun. What is the mission?
We are enemies of Flavi. We just want to,
Are we?
Do what yeah. we can to help the world.
Of course we're enemies of Flavi.
Well, we know Flavi's the one who about Flavi. Caused the blight. Right? Is that common knowledge?
Do you know that? Okay.
Yeah, you've learned that.
Yeah, okay. We did the research on that.
Yeah.
Then I guess I am.
Yeah, you definitely are. Yeah. More than anyone else,
I realize that I had already learned that, so never mind. Yeah.
I heard there was a good fight out here. So
I'm right. I've been blessed by the name.
So, Punchy, why don't we break out some of that pirate ale? Get a little breakfast drinking.
Breakfast drinking!
Well, this is the end of the day for us. We sleep during the day.
Yep.
All right, so you pop a.
I mean, we might want to ask if we can actually spend the night here before you get shit-faced. That's all I'm saying.
She says, you're more than welcome to stay here. Please feel free to get, as she put it, shit-faced.
You're welcome to join us. It'd be rude not to share.
She says,
right, Punchy?
I suppose. She shared her tree with us.
She says, I appreciate the offer. However, I abstain from alcohol.
Fantastic.
And Punchy likes her more than ever.
She says, so Paladin. She says...
That's me.
She says, what's your name?
Frank.
And she goes around and gets all your names at this point.
The cat needs to stop.
She's rambunctious tonight.
Come here, Remy. Have a cat.
Oh, all right. Of all cats to be handed across the table, that was probably not.
And then
the
you
one.
Try and put him on your shoulder.
Alright, so she says, so Frigg, she says, so what is it your god has instructed you to do?
Find the chosen one, which is Altair, and save the world. And the blight looks like the thing that's most threatening to the world, so I'm going to stop that. Mm-hmm.
It's all really vague, right?
She's just rolling with it, seeing what happens.
I roll with it. I'm a gambler. I worship the goddess of luck. That's what we do. Everything is a risk. Everything's a gamble. Including trying to be your friend.
That's fair. Wasn't good odds.
She kind of winds her eyes for a second and looks at the lot of you. She says, what animal do you most associate with?
Never really thought about it.
Just what comes to your gut? What's the first thing you would say?
Everyone knows what I'm going to say. Squirrels? Their lives are pretty risky.
What about you, Noman?
I don't know. Raven, maybe?
She looks at you, Altair. Just the first thing that comes to your mind.
I don't know. For Altair? Mm-hmm. Come back to me.
She says, no, you just have to, just the first thing.
Anton, porcupine.
That's the most stubborn animal.
Donkey.
Armadillo.
Armadillo. I mean, oh God, that cat is not going to stop.
No.
R.I.P. Oh. R.I.P.
He had to abandon mission on that. You should have seen his face. He was like,
the massive melon is coming towards me. Abort! Abort!
Abort! I mean, I think for me, probably an owl. Owl study.
to you by cats.
Oh, the hair. Oh, the hair. It's so lovely.
Braxis.
The cat.
And by the way, when you say wolf, she said it like at the same time you did. And then punchy?
A bull.
And she also like repeats that kind of with you.
Just for those two?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they got it right. What did you end up saying?
Owl.
Okay. That makes sense.
She says, I've seen you, all of you. She says, not as these forms, she says, but in, she says, as animals. Would you like to DM the session?
That cat.
Little come on. Fluff butt.
Link.
It's Zelda, isn't it?
No, it's Link.
Link.
Yeah, he's wound the fuck up.
Look at that.
He's literally just setting his paw on your hand.
All right, so she says, "Oh, ignore my cat whiskers." She says, "He is quite the rambunctious kitty." She says, "I've seen." So it's hard to maintain the atmosphere when you have like. High as fuck cat, just like go on the flavor town.
Well, all of our characters are a little test anyway, or a little tipsy anyway. So
yeah,
there we go. All
right, thank you, Link.
Thanks for the intermission.
She says, "I've seen each of you in a vision, in your animal forms."
Hmm.
She says, "You are heading for the center of the blight."
Are we gonna have to? Turn into animals to defeat the blight?
She says, no, she says the...
It's a metaphor! Oh my god!
Oh my god! How many times are you literally an animal?
Yeah, no, okay, that's a good point!
She's actually right!
That's a good point.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah,
she says, obviously there's wisdom in what she said. She says, no, you know, that, she says the dreams are metaphors. She says, the blight, as you may know, has stopped spreading.
Do you know why that is?
She says, because 20 years ago, the source of it was removed and destroyed.
But that didn't destroy it.
No, she says, it's not been rendered fully under. At the center of it is a dark heart. And she says, I'm just going to clarify, a figurative dark heart. Because just getting that vibe from you.
Thank you for clarifying, I appreciate it.
It still occasionally brings creatures most foul for the rift. She says, you may have heard the strange noises in the woods or seen weird lights. She says, members of our circle have been patrolling the woods for the last 20 years, making sure that nothing that comes through it gets out.
That's good of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a self-sustaining system that needs to be disrupted.
She knows. She says, this forest used to be a mirthful place. She says, it was full of villages, communities of gnomes and halflings and orcs and dwarves and all sorts of folk, she says, but the forest is a pale, dark imitation of what it once was.
How have you all managed to survive?
She says, we've consecrated this ground. She says, through a combination of magic, of druidic magic, and of course, our tree to amplify it. Mm-hmm. She says, you're asking how we've kept them out. She says, We've essentially, she says, to put it in terms that maybe you'll be more familiar with, we've sanctified it, she says. Sanctified it, she says. Made it so that nothing foul or evil can enter its borders.
Are you aware of any other sanctified villages in the vicinity? Are there any community of other people?
She shakes her head. She says, we're the only one that has the tree.
Hmm.
Which god do you call on?
She says, we don't call on your gods. She says, we revere the forest itself, the spirits of nature. She says, our ancestors that came before us and their spirits.
Sorry, I was looking up the definition of sanctified. Required religion. Mm-hmm. It does not.
She says, we believe that every tree has a spirit, that every blade of grass, every plant does as well.
And you can paint with all the colors in the wind.
Yeah, that's what
She says, only when we take the special mushrooms, yes.
So you don't drink, but you take special mushrooms.
Well, yeah.
She says, yes. She says, sometimes
from
the
forest.
She says, sometimes you have to open your mind to the greater realities.
Do you have any of those for sale?
In your time working.
She says, we don't believe in currency.
Have you determined?
She says, we do believe in a fair barter system. But your precious metals mean nothing to us.
Ignoring him. In the time since the people have been patrolling the Blight, have you gotten a better understanding or any ideas of how we could go about either creating more sanctified areas or destroying the metaphorical dark heart within?
She says, yes, if you want to stop the metaphorical beating of the heart within the woods. She says, that is what you do in my vision. She says, at the very center of the Blight is a darkness.
I hope you don't find this a rude question, but what's your success rate with your visions? How often do they come true?
She says, the future is always shifting. She says, I'd put it at maybe 60%.
Those are good. Those are odds in our favor. They're not the best odds.
She says, I try to... She says, I always try to take a longer term thing. She says, perhaps my actions have stopped the vision from coming true because of my knowledge of the vision. She says, it's hard to say. She says, visions are a strange and slippery thing.
Well, we plan to stop it anyway, and she's got a 60% success rate that says we're probably going to do it. So.
She says, I must warn you, though. She says, there's none to venture into the dark heart of the woods and come back.
What about Ponderous? What's his face?
Ponderous Goat, she says. She says, Ponderous Goat and Eager Wolf. She says, I should clarify, since they have stopped. Since they stopped the Blight from spreading, no one has gone to the dark parts of the woods. They're the only ones that came out of it alive.
So it has been done.
She says it has, yes.
Okay.
How long ago was this?
20 years. Okay. She says, so if you go, it could be a one-way trip.
Is it possible to take the tree with us?
She says, touch it and it'll go with you.
That's an interesting idea, though. Does she ever put forth seeds?
She says, yes, every once in 100 years.
So probably not lately.
Probably take a long time for it to grow as well.
She says, the tree did have a sister, a younger sapling, she says, that unfortunately perished. She says they can only grow in certain spots. She says spots where the raw energies of the universe come closest to the surface of the material plane.
Is the tree?
Can I roll Arcana for something Narasthana knows?
You roll Arcana for something you probably know.
Does the tree ever drop branches? Do they retain any qualities of the tree? And will they do us any good to take them with us?
She says the tree hasn't dropped a branch in over 15 years.
What if we shake it?
No! It's a magical tree! You don't.
What if we cut it?
No!
Well, I mean, there is a possibility with some trees that have been broken of grafting a limb onto another tree that's healthier.
She says, I appreciate your utilitarian concerns, she said. She says, the last branch that fell, she says, is actually, and she kind of gestures towards her walking stick.
Huh.
She says, it does bear a magic to it, yes.
So, do you know when the next seed will come of it? Is it anytime soon?
Oh, yes, she says, it's very soon, only another 11 years.
11 years. Oh, that's a lot of
Is it okay if we, like, shake some of the branches and see if anything falls off?
No!
We're just... It's a magical tree.
She kind of raises a hand. She says, you may attempt to shake the tree.
It is a giant sequoia. I don't know.
I'm talking about climbing while someone...
I mean, perhaps the tree would give
us... It's like when you have a tooth that's coming loose. You wiggle it and you wiggle it and wiggle it until it falls out. So maybe there's a branch that's just ready to go if you just, you know, get on the bigger branch and shake, and maybe it'll be helpful.
So, I mean,
you do have a purple rock. This is destiny.
I'm not taking part in any of this. So, what's her name?
You can climb.
Yeah.
I'm not climbing that tree.
Do you know, I assume that whenever you say there's a certain convergence of energies, you're talking about ley lines. I rolled a 19. Can I have this?
Okay. She says, I believe that is what you magicians call it, yes.
Do you know which ley lines the tree is, or is it a convergence of all of them, one of the power points?
She says, these ley lines you speak of, she says, there are two that converge in the center of the heart of the woods.
Oh, which two are those?
She says, the ley line of insight and the ley line of fire.
And that's in the dark heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what does the tree goat grow best?
She says, this is the ley line of life.
And that's it? It's not a convergence? Oh, okay. You said convergence earlier.
No.
So it just has to be, the seedling just has to be planted on a ley line of...
So what you know about ley lines is they kind of work like sine waves, where mm-hmm. like... Sometimes they'll get closer to the surface and like almost break out, and that's where they're strongest.
Mm-hmm.
So this is at a point like one of those
points. Yeah. So, but you said it was the tree can only grow on a convergence, but that's not it. It can only grow on life, right?
It can grow on other ley lines. It just has to be a point where the ley line is closest.
Oh, any ley line then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you have a plan for where you're going to plant the seed when it comes?
She says they'll let the tree decide.
Oh, okay. If you need assistance with that sounds very educational.
She says, come back in 11 years and we'll talk.
Oh, I'll put it in my calendar. I'll have Siri.
Siri, remind me in 11 years.
Siri is a gnome you befriend.
Siri is your bat's name.
Maybe. Hey, Siri. So mad.
All right, let's move on from phone things to adventuring things. She says,
what are we supposed to do when we hit, if we were to get to the heart, what would we do once we were there?
Smash it.
She says, its roots grow deep. You must pluck the roots from it.
So it's a tree?
She says,
metaphorical
roots.
Can we move towards less more metaphorical speech? Like, what would we actually be able to do?
Don't you think that this incredibly wise woman, if she knew exactly how to do it, would already have fucking done it?
Look, I'm an archer and a businessman. I don't know what to do to magical evil.
Hey, I want to climb a tree, but I can't. Maybe she can't.
Do you know how to climb a tree?
I physically can't. I'm a dwarf.
Yeah, but there's a difference between not being able to do something and knowing how to do something. And just because she can't physically doesn't mean she still would somehow...
Let's keep talking about her in the third person.
my point is just, we don't know.
She's just shoveling, like, this nut and berry goop in her mouth and kind of watching you guys with interest.
Like, we want to help. We just don't know how.
Well, you know what? We just got here, and I don't know about you, but I'm really... tired.
It is the
time.
Very great.
My name's Fig.
She says you are quite a spirited group.
How long does this goop thing last?
Goop thing? The breakfast? The
food? Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of it. You can have as much as you'd like.
No, but I'm wondering how long does it keep while traveling?
Oh, like, yeah, could we take?
Oh, she says you can absolutely take some with you. She says if you cool down into a bar, she says it makes a great trail ration.
Like pemmican, maybe? Perhaps? Who knows?
She says,
we have a whole pirate ship worth of food, though. Like, we're probably...
Dude, we left that pirate ship on the river. It's gone.
Yeah.
No. We took all
we
the
took basically
the stuff
everything.
In their hold.
Yeah, but...
They took all the
mostly,
in their heart.
There's mostly ale that is non-perishable. Yeah. I'm worried about the perishable stuff.
Ale perishes.
Most of the stuff they had was non-perishable, like dried meats and hardtack.
I mean, we're all really worried about food. That's not something that we really have to worry too much about.
Like, says the girl who's not hungry right now.
I mean, I'm just saying,
as a player,
mechanics of the game, it's not a thing that we have to spend
time on. Just assumes that, like, when you rest for the evening, you make food or forage for food.
We've been spending a lot. It's not necessary to spend a bunch of
time. Good flavor. I like it. We're in flavor town at the moment.
I also didn't know if it was Caitlin or our player speaking.
No, I was just like, the mechanics of the game.
So, she says, it's up to you whether or not you choose to go into the harp, she says. She says, but first, she says, it looks like you've traveled a long way and perhaps you could use some rest.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
She says, I will have Akichita show you to some beds, she says, and some warm baths. And she says, we have a magical hot spring here.
Are you guys mostly daywalkers or nightwalkers?
She says, we vary. She says, some of us have the night shift, some of us have the day shift.
We've been traveling at night, so we're off kilter and didn't know how your community works, if we need to adjust our schedules or what.
She shakes her head no. She says, I would recommend going into the Blight during the day. Mm. It's much more deadly at night.
Mm. But sleeping at night has been a problem getting up to now.
She says, you are safe here.
But so you suggest that we sleep during the most dangerous time?
Here, yes.
Remember all that protective stuff that you're all excited to learn about?
But you just said the Blight. We're not leaving
yet. Well, no, that's
she says you're about a day's travel from the center of the Blight.
I thought she just said that she suggested us to travel during the day.
Well, right now, while we're staying with this community, I'm asking what hours the community keeps, so that we're not weirdos who are making a fuss when we're trying to sleep.
You can sleep whatever you want. She suggests that when you travel to the Blight, that you travel during the day, because it's less dangerous.
Okay. I just don't understand why, if it's more dangerous at night, why would we sleep there during the night?
I think he means it's more dangerous to travel at night because you can't see what you're doing or where you're going.
But we all have dark vision.
Yeah.
Well, no, the creatures are deadlier at night, I guess.
Maybe the bigger ones come out.
Yeah, I'm worried about everyone being asleep and only one person being on watch.
All right, so.
You can be on watch.
That sounds terrible, and like I would die before I could tell anyone that there's a problem.
We have your guard spell. Mm-hmm. I'll wake us up.
Alright, so, you guys rest?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alright, she leads you to a kind of a long house up in one of the trees. It kind of stretches between two trees and is filled with a bunch of hammocks.
Cool.
There's probably a dozen or so in this room, and three or four of them are already filled when you get here. She says, I apologize we're not able to provide you with more private accommodations, she says. We're very communal folk here.
Punchy! Swing me!
Hold on!
How quickly does Shadow Moss regret this decision?
And do we piss off the other people who are sleeping?
Well, they're all drow, so they're not sleeping. They're more in their trance state.
Yeah, but they're still... chill.
One of them, like, at one point, like, opens an eye, kind of looks at y'all, and then just shakes his head as he goes back into his trance.
I go to the endmost hammock.
Yes. Melon peach.
So, you guys wake up in the late afternoon. What do you do?
Go to find water because I'm really dizzy for some reason.
Oh, Kristen, you're up. Fill up her water.
Oh, no,
literally.
Oh, that's a good idea, though. I don't. Thanks for thinking of me, Caitlin.
Mm-hmm. Friends, hydrated.
I assume that you meant that in real life.
Oh. No, I was saying because I had been drinking and then been swinging.
I've done that. It's a bad choice.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, I see.
Alright, so, you just wake up. The light is shining, though a little dimmer than you'd expect because of the forest canopy.
I think it would probably be prudent to seek out some of their more warrior-y types mm-hmm. to just ask questions about what type of stuff we might face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just looking for advice.
Okay.
I will go... Is Wandering Null the one who would know the most about the ward that protects the place?
Probably.
I will ask her about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if she knows any spells that a wizard could learn
mm-hmm.
for protecting things.
Hey, Punchy, these people are being boring. You want to go see if we can go join a patrol?
Please. I'm getting itchy.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about you two?
I'm going to tell them what Braxis. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
What did Braxis do again?
He wants to go talk to people. We're going to go beat things.
Yeah.
There is crossover there.
I'll also go talk to what's the face? Wandering Null.
Okay. So, Altair and Noman, you guys are talking to Wandering Null. Mm-hmm. She's in the light. You see, like, her dark skin is actually covered in a bunch of, like, very, just slightly less dark tattoos, like, of all varying designs across her, like, wrinkled, weathered skin.
Mm-hmm.
You get the idea that some of them are, like, arcane or magical in nature.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so what can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering if you could teach me anything about how the ward was created around the... around the village, and if you know of any...
Oh, she says, yes, I'll be walking through all the steps. And so she starts to walk you through all the steps, and it's like, you speak English, and she's speaking German. Like, this druidic magic just makes no sense to your...
Mm.
Like, she's doing the things wrong. This isn't how you summon a conjuration or an abjuration. Like, this is a...
Okay. I still take dutiful notes,
mm-hmm.
even though I don't understand.
You do find it very fascinating. Yeah. And it's an abjuration, you realize.
Yeah.
And so, up in your ballywick.
So all of her magic is going to be druidic.
Uh-huh. Okay. What about you, Noman?
I ask, man, who are the last people that have gone into
you can take a level the heart later.
Mm-hmm. Of the blight?
Oh, yeah, she says,
how often it was. I just want to know, because she mentioned that if no one else has returned.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how often it's been tried, and who are the people who went in there? What did they go with?
She's just learning.
She says, well, to my knowledge, she says, and of course there might be more that came in from the West.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I have known of three other groups that have attempted to go in there. She says, all of whom were trying to stop the blight from happening.
Mm.
She says, there is a group of mercenaries, she says, paid to go in there. Mm-hmm. She says, there is a group of do-gooders, I guess you'd call them, just doing it for the goodness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, in the last group that went in there, she says, they were an odd bunch, she says. They all were wizards, and they all believed that they were going to gain some sort of magical prowess from doing this.
Mm.
Something about an artifact or something like that.
Really? Did anyone...
Somebody You're just got there. A hard on.
No, I am there. I
oh,
am
that's
here.
Right. This
yeah.
is with her.
So... Did anyone speak to these wizards directly?
I did, yeah. They came and they touched a tree. They ate my goop.
And they said they were going to find an artifact?
Why is Wandering Null sounding more and more like, what's his name?
Valorant the President.
It is almost her bedtime.
Surprise, motherfucker! I'm Valorant the President the whole time!
Oh god, you have, what? 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 You motherfucker!
Wait.
I literally looked away for half a fucking second. Son of a bitch. You just
not
fucking
really.
Had it hidden underneath your chair, didn't you?
For the appropriate reveal, yes.
But you have your shirt up.
Yeah.
This time.
I
Wait, to clarify, that didn't really happen. No. Okay.
Sorry, that was...
That was a joke.
Apparently when I eat pizza, my Valkyrie voice comes out. Okay. Probably a remnant from me being drunk the last time I was Valkyrie.
So, you spoke to him. It was a group of wizards. Did they tell you what school they were with?
She says they're from, country to the south. Paracles, I think they call it.
Okay.
She said they thought there was a... She said, what was the word they used? A shard of something.
A shard of something?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Did you see them do any magic?
I mean, yeah, they were trying to impress us with their prestidigitation and all that shit.
That's fair.
Just they're a cocky lot.
Yeah.
And they didn't return.
Just that didn't surprise me, though.
Did any monks go in?
Not to my knowledge.
There's hope yet.
That's hilarious. I love you.
It's too funny that... Okay, Chris, where can I find the School of Magic? Schools of Magic?
At the start, at the end of the Wizards section. In the front of the book.
So... I was hoping for a simpler list rather than going through 18 of different pages. So I draw... I assume there's symbols for each of these schools,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I draw a symbol of necromancy
mm-hmm.
and ask her if any of them were sporting symbols similar to this.
No, she says.
Okay, good.
She says, well, none of them were sporting any symbol. She says, they seemed very elusive about... About their, what they could do. She said none of them touched the tree. I did not trust them very much.
Oh, I thought you said they did. Okay.
No, she says. Did I say they did?
Yeah,
I thought I said the other one. Anyway,
no, the other group. I think
the other group ate the goop and touched your tree.
I thought that was the wizards that you were talking about.
Mercenary. Well, it doesn't.
Anyway,
not important.
Didn't trust the tree. She didn't trust.
If I said they touched the tree, I meant the other group. So.
Good enough.
We'll go back and retcon that when you actually go back and listen and find out that I'm wrong.
Oh, her name's not Akachita. Her name's
Wandering Law. All right, so she talks to her a bit more. Braxis and Frigg. Unusual pairing.
I think we get each other.
Weirdly, I think we do. Or at least Frigg thinks she does. I'm sure she doesn't.
Humble businessman.
Full of shit.
So yeah, we just want to talk to what look like warrior cast and be like,
mm-hmm.
what can we expect and what's the best way to handle it?
You see a tall, broad drow. Very muscular, pretty androgynous.
I thought you said it was a broad. Sorry, everyone.
Strong back.
And they say, you going into the woods?
Headed straight for the heart, apparently.
The metaphorical heart.
Very specific. Yes. Most of the things that have been coming out of there lately have been fairly reasonable as far as they go. You know, medium-sized large creatures, extra tentacles, extra spines coming out of places spines ought not come out of.
Is there a particular type of magic that's better against them?
She says, if you can do radiant magic, yeah, if you're some sort of cleric. Are you some sort of cleric?
Paladin.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Now, they say, they kind of think for a second. They say, don't let them bite you.
That's good advice in general, but what happens in particular if they bite you?
They're, the ichor that's in their blood... Affect you. Can cause you to lose yourself.
Is there treatment?
They say radiant magic, restoration spells, things like that. Not getting bit in the first place is the best cure, though.
Do a lot of them have like illusions or mind tricks or?
We get the occasional trickster. The creatures that come out here aren't uniform. They're whatever minds dreamt them up is some manner of messed up.
Do non-magical weapons work against them?
Usually. Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes not, but usually.
That's good.
Have you spent time in the Blight?
We stick to the edge of it, but I've been in it a few times. It's a dreary place.
When you're there, how much do you encounter, like, in a typical day?
We maybe encounter one or two creatures a week.
A week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Do you have any idea how long it would take to find the center of all this?
Well, it'd be about a little less than a day's travel towards the center of it.
Is that by foot or with our horses?
Well, it's by foot. If you have a horse, you can have it. We should
probably leave them behind. Domestic animals okay in the Blight, do you know?
Just don't let them get bit.
Mm. They're probably a liability.
They won't like it.
Run.
They won't like it. Mm. They'll be spooked for sure. Okay. We usually go on foot, but
okay.
But if you've got good animals, well domesticated, loyal steeds and companions.
Okay. So we can find the middle of it in about a day ish. So we could do this on foot. We can each carry like a week or two of provisions. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else to ask.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks. Nice to meet you.
Never got my name. All right, so Punchy and Shadow Moss, you guys are on patrol.
Yeah, we're looking for shit to break.
Punchy's getting antsy.
You're with a couple of drow who are walking along the Blight with you. Mm-hmm. They say, now granted, most days we don't see anything, but when we do, shit gets real.
Tell me your best story.
Oh, well, she says, one time I was walking the edge of the Blight, she says, and this time it was some sort of weird snake monster. And before he knew it, slithered up, got both of my legs, threw him out from under me. Now, I was alone. So I thought this was it. I'm done for. She says, I kept coiling up further and further around me. First my ankles, then my knees, then my waist. Finally, that big, nasty head peered in front of my face, its mouth open wide. She says, and inside its mouth was another mouth. Ah! She says, it lunged at my face. She says, luckily, I had both my hands free. I reached up and grabbed the jaws. I struggled with it for maybe a half an hour, but finally I ripped its jaw off. She says, and then one of my friends came and saved me. she says,
do you usually go, like, alone?
We often do. She says, they're usually pretty easy to manage creatures. She says, we're not seeing anything huge coming out of these woods.
How deep in do you usually go?
We stick to the edge. Our goal isn't, she says, we don't have enough people to cover the entire Blight. Our goal is just to make sure nothing gets out. She says, many times the creatures in there will take care of each other.
Ooh. Cool.
She says, what about you two? You seen any combat?
A little bit. I punched the heart out of a manticore.
She says, now that is a badass story, my friend.
It was pretty cool.
I sliced a guy in half once.
Twice.
So do you guys use any kind of mark areas, or do you have like a certain rotation that you do?
She says, at any given time, she says, there's five or six of us that are out on the northern, western, and southern edges. She says, what we usually do is we take a month here at home, where we do these sort of day patrols around, make sure nothing gets near us. And then she says, then we take off for a month or two, make our way around the edge.
How do you call each other for help if you need it?
She says, we usually don't.
So how'd your friend know to come find you with the snake?
She says it was near here. She says,
Have you lost a lot of friends?
A couple. She says, it takes a lot of, we do a lot of training before we actually go out on our own for the first time. She says, spend a lot of time working here close to home with partners. She says, in fact, she points over to the shoulder, kind of younger jobs with you guys. She says, that's my trainee right there. Still a few years away from her first go around.
How do you guys train?
She says, well, first, you know, it's a buddy program, she says. She comes with me. She watches me handle things. When I see things that I think maybe will be a little on their level, you know, we throw them in, see how they do, watch. Sometimes we'll team up if it's something that's a little bigger. And eventually the trainer becomes the one that follows them. Just watches their back for a while, make sure that they can do everything okay. And then once we're sure that they are, they get to do their first go around.
Did you bring your dog?
Mm-hmm. Can you train me?
She says I could. She says, but I think if you punch the heart out of a manticore and slice the man in half, I think you're ready for your first go around already.
So there is a like, what advice would you give us going out for the first time in the blank creatures? Because I'm assuming they're not like just like regular manticore shit.
She says,
can you punch the heart out of them?
Yeah.
She says you can. She says, but it's very dangerous. You don't want to get their ichor in your blood.
It was a blighted man.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt. This sounds like all of our characters like are job shadowing. Going around interviewing, what's your job with the blight?
How do you do magic circles? I would like to do magic circles as well.
Sorry, go on.
She says, I forget what the question was.
Oh, what advice would you give us for wandering around the blight on our own?
Never underestimate anything. Assume anything that you're fighting can turn into something larger. She says, I've often seen these weird creatures shed their skins and come out larger, bigger, stronger than they were before. She says, always deal as much damage to them as you can at a distance before they get in close to you.
Yeah.
She says, she says, it's fun to get in real close, she says, but why risk it if you don't have to, right?
So what do you do if there is ichor? Because we had some weird crap with some gross ichor before. What do we do to if you do get the ichor on you, or they bite you, or something.
She says, well, find a priest or a druid, she says. Somebody who can,
I'm a druid, what can I do?
She says, you can use your magic to restore them, purify them. She says, I believe you have a spell called Purify Food and Water, or something like that, but we'll get back to that.
I did have one more question that I forgot from before. I just wanted to ask if there's anything in the blight, like, I know that it's basically a no man's land, but is there keeps or just, you know, ruins and things like that, or is it just like a plain of dead trees and ash?
The latter.
Okay.
And if it's a first level spell.
So, where do you guys take shelter when you're on those, like, months by yourself out there? Like, how do you stay safe at night?
We sleep in the trees. She says those of us that can cast alarm spells, cast alarm spells. Those of us that can't, just learn to sleep with one eye open. So, drink and learn. She says, besides, we all go into a trance. Most of us go into a trance anyway, rather than sleeping. It's a little easier to come out of it.
That's a good point. As we're walking along, I'm going to be practicing my sling on various dead things in front of us, just because I feel like I need practice. Mm-hmm.
She gives you a few gentle pointers.
Like, don't throw it over your head that way.
She asks you, like, she says, so what's your favorite? The hammer, the axe, sword?
Oh, them all. My name is Punchy, but it really should be Smashy.
She says, the Punchy, she says, that's an interesting name.
It's Punchella. But everyone calls me Punchy.
Is Punchy it is?
Is your sister Punchella? How we figured out the name of your sister last session, didn't
we? Brother.
Brother.
Her cousin
Coachella. I think it was Smashy.
Her cousin Coachella. Coachy.
So I assume we find nothing interesting to hit.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a lackluster day.
I think we're pretty much ready.
She does find, like, a deer, though, that, like, it's in its prime and looks ready to be hunted, so she offers you the...
I'm gonna take my broadsword and just guillotine the head right off.
You have to chase it a bit, but you run it. You eventually run it down.
Does it die from fear?
Wouldn't you?
I tired it out.
And back in camp, we're like, oh, there's something evil in the woods today.
It's like the screaming we heard in the night.
All right, so. So it's getting to be late in the evening. You guys got to start late afternoon and went well into the night. That evening, at dinner, there's a lot of singing around the fire. The drow are singing songs.
What are drow marching songs like?
Inya, basically.
I was thinking Poe.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
No, that is way too happy for drow.
Yeah, this is a pretty happy place. It's actually unnerving to you, Punchy. Everyone here is just real, like, despite the fact that they spend most of their life fighting this evil, like, once they're here inside of this, like, in that ring of influence of the tree, everyone's just very, like, mellow and happy.
Free love coming in.
This is why you don't want.
There it is.
Wandering Null has no good retort for that.
Keep things from leaving. Where's your ambition?
She says, luckily, we don't get ambition when the six of you are apparently blessed with it, so. Alright, so. You guys had to, like, so you guys plan on leaving during the night then, or what's your plan? Like, the next night, or?
Well, if we're going to follow her advice and travel during the day, we should just make ourselves sleep and then go at the crack of dawn.
And when we get there, it'll be what?
Night.
No, they said it'll take half a day on animals, if we're taking animals.
Yeah, but they also said the animals will be miserable, and if they get bit, they become blight creatures themselves. So it might be
better
smart to leave them behind. But I'm sure the elves would watch them
for us. Is blight strongest during the night?
They did imply that some of the creatures are more deadly during the evening.
I still think we should travel at night, so then we're all awake if we encounter something evil. Although it's only a day there and a day
there. Apparently they don't climb trees. We could sleep in the trees.
We'll pull you up.
We can just go down on the
strength. You can't pull her up.
By we, he means Punchy and Noman.
I was going to say, who's we, Kimasabi? Because I ain't fucking there. I'm a -2.
-10, that's average.
Well, to be fair, I'm an 18, so if there's a low-lying branch, I could probably just...
You could just
do a pull.
Yeah.
Well, my God, this is a fantasy game. You can do pull-ups in it.
That's how I know it's fantasy.
I was talking about, I was watching Stranger Things last night, and like, I was like, the most unbelievable part of this entire show is that a bunch of nerds would be able to pull themselves up a rope to get out of a hole. I say this as somebody who dreaded rope day at the gym, because it just meant me struggling to climb a rope, not climbing a rope, and then getting laughed at by those people who climb a rope.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Very much.
I have no reference point. Nobody did climb rope.
No, but you could march. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. It could
march. All right, so it is the Fourth of Fools. You guys waking up at the crack of dawn, or you...
Wait, sorry. What did we decide? Are we traveling at day or night?
I vote that we sleep at night in the trees.
Well, I think...
Because the people who actually live here
should know better whether it's better to travel during the day
can
or
I cast
night.
My alarm
what
spell
month
on
is it
tree?
Again?
Yeah.
What's
Fools?
It? What month is it again?
Fools.
How do you spell it?
F-O-O-L-S.
How long does it take to get to the blight? Is it a day's walk?
It's a day walk, or it's a half day's by horse.
So, like, if we walk in the morning, and then we camp just outside the blight, and then we...
No, we're walking.
Oh, no, it's a day to the center of the blight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's
yeah.
a day to the center.
We're basically heading straight in as soon as we start.
Yeah, I think we should wait till tomorrow morning.
Okay. And no animals, right?
Yeah, no animals.
Okay. What about Bernadette?
William.
I mean, should you ask Willamette, her opinion?
What happens? Is it a real wolf or is it a fey wolf?
No, it's the dog.
This is my puppy.
Her doofy.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna leave
yeah,
puppy here and I'll be just be a wolf.
No, I want Sarah to roleplay both sides of this conversation with the dog, but whether the dog wants to go into the blight.
I mean, I'll roleplay the dog.
You just want to hear my conversation of Minnesotan versus puppy?
Sounds like it.
We don't have to.
Perfect, like, but no, I want to.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I want to sneak an extra treat to the dog and be like, you're in charge of watching the horses.
Okay, I will ask the puppy since we are spending an extra day and I can blow the spell.
Mm-hmm.
Blow the spell. So I will speak with animals and say, hey, Willamette.
Hey, Shadow Moss, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you feeling around here?
This is wonderful, though. Everything feels very warm here. It feels like I'm constantly getting my head scratched.
I know! It's so good! But the rest of the outside's kind of scary. So we have to go further into the scary.
You seem to have something on your mind. Speak.
Well, I want to know how you feel about whether you want to stay here where it's warm and safe. Or if you want to come with us to be scary places and possibly get hurt.
She says,
I guess we all do that.
She says, I knew that when you took me on as your faithful companion, that there would be many times where I could get hurt. She says, it just comes with the job of being your best friend. So she says, I'll come with.
Okay, are you sure?
She says, besides, if you get into shit, you can just climb on me and I'll run really fast.
That's true. You are super fast.
I'm very fast.
Let me rub your tummy!
Wait, squirrel. Come on to you, squirrel. I see you. I'm sorry, you were saying about... Oh, my tummy.
Tummy!
Yes, rub the tummy. Yes. Beware the squirrels. Always plotting.
It's true. Now make sure when we go into the scary place that you don't eat any of the squirrels, okay?
Just make sure that when we go to the scary place, you feed me my treats.
You know I got you, boo.
Wolf, wolf. All right. Always delightful. It is the 4th of Fools, 1632. You guys wake up at the crack of dawn. What do you do?
Farewell and
set out,
go.
Obviously, we say goodbye to the appropriate people, tell them what we're doing. If we're not back in, what, a week? Assume we're dead?
Yeah.
Wandering Knoll gives each of you, like, a half dozen of those, like, fruity nut bars.
Fruity Odie bars.
Yeah.
Wait, we are walking, we said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are definitely not taking our carry on thingamajig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we can carry. I mean, the ale.
We're gonna pack the backpacks. And,
yeah, we can carry enough to feed ourselves for a couple of weeks easily.
Mm-hmm.
Although someone may have to go with Avian for a bit. Heartbreakingly. Then again, I mean, you're strong. You could probably carry your own ale.
It's true.
Just on your, just have a backpack, just a cask of ale.
And a tube.
Like a camel.
Yes.
Like a camel bag.
I like those St. Bernard little
Just tip it up every time.
All right. Wandering Knoll comes to say goodbye. And she says, she says, best of luck to you on your journeys. She says, never forget the light when you're in the darkness.
She says, good luck storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
Take a miracle.
I'm glad you're there for me, though.
And as you guys get ready to leave, you hear a loud crack. And a branch falls from the sequoia and lands on the ground.
Run into that monster.
Oh. It's a large knobby branch, about 4 feet long. And who grabs it?
I mean, I'm going to grab it. But...
Sounds like Shadow Moth gets there first.
So Shadow Moth, you get...
That's
like
decks?
2 feet taller than me is the problem.
Yeah, you can't carry it.
You can.
It's a little difficult.
I pick it up with Shadow Moth still.
I mean, you can work it into something.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, guys, should we take this with us?
Yes, definitely. Wait, were you talking about me or the stick?
Oh. So, I guess we can take you.
I guess shaking the tree worked.
See? Question. You said she could work it into something. Mm-hmm. Could it be split? Mm-hmm. The wood?
Yeah.
You want to split it?
I don't think you deserve any of this wood.
I don't know if I deserve it or not, but I am a magic user.
It's clearly a druid stick.
It is clearly druidic magic.
We all want some Shadow Moth.
This is what the last six sessions have been building up to. Shadow Moth's given everyone her wood.
Yeah. Well, I have Shillelagh right now. I'm wondering how big of Shillelagh I can have, or if I should
go it is, with the stick itself is actually magical.
Yeah, I was going to say. So tell us what this stick is all about.
Hey,
so,
I would like a little piece of it.
Let's hear what the stick is about first. Let's let him talk. What's the stick do?
It is a +1 magical weapon. And it does something. It does another thing that you'll have to discover as you play with it.
So, it's a +1 weapon if it stays and it's a 4-foot stick.
Not necessarily.
Okay. So, before we leave.
Shadow Moss, when you look at the stick, what do you think? What do you see the stick becoming?
Well, out of character, how big are shillelaghs proportional to humans or my creature? Yeah.
So, if I was holding a shillelagh and I was holding it, it'd probably come up to, here.
Okay.
So it's basically like a bat.
Yeah.
Like a short bat.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Like a big knob.
Yeah. It's basically what a shillelagh is.
Okay. Well, basically, if it was reasonable for me sized, I would have shillelagh, but I could also use part of it as a wand, because I believe that I'm able to use wandy type things.
But a wand isn't a weapon, right?
Right.
A wand
It's
has...
a druidic focus. Yeah.
As you think about your shillelagh, the stick cracks and shrinks into about the size of a 8-inch shillelagh, perfectly sized for you.
Yay! Oh, nice. I just wanted a little sliver.
I guess it's to go with my holy symbol.
Do you want her to?
It's not for you.
Do you want her to have the Shadow Moth?
No, she's for Lilith. This is a nature thing.
I dig it too.
Nature based.
I mean, you could share. Sounds like this is a thing that could be shared.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. She knows about stuff.
Do you are you in a nature based magic? No, because I'm pretty
one
sure.
One of Noel's like, I've got an easy solution to this problem, and she takes her staff.
Doesn't she have a staff? Yeah.
And she slivers two slivers off and hands one to each of you.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank
was
you.
Was very kind of you.
Thank you.
The only real magic is nature magic, so fuck you is what I'm saying.
Well, but you don't want to share your real magic with us.
And next time you need a fireball, don't ask me. You don't want my magic.
I don't know, just looks at you and says the force. Damn. This.
When have I ever asked for a fireball? Like, when?
Alright.
Well, hey, there's a little bit of a valley
girl. So the next time you're caught up by a giant monster, you're on your own.
Okay. I have punchy.
Best of luck, everybody.
Yeah. I want to go fight some demon rabbits.
Thank you.
Look out for each other. Remember, stay safe. Remember the light.
She says hopelessly as we walk out of the village.
You may not have heard of it, but she looked at Bunch. She's like, the forest is damned. This is it.
I heard. Yeah, I heard.
I'm just petting and rubbing my face.
I assume they agreed to take care of the animals that aren't coming. We're good.
And if we die, they get free animals.
It's a good, it's a win-win for them. Sure. They either get a healthy forest or they get free animals and a shit ton of ale.
Yeah, shit ton of ale. So with the sliver, do we just attach it to something?
What's that? The sliver?
Yeah.
It's just a good luck charm.
It's just a good luck charm. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, okay. So it won't turn into a weapon or anything like that.
No.
Oh.
you're hoping.
No, I thought it was able to be split into two weapons. So never mind. Yeah.
But it like still feels nice when you touch it, right?
Yeah. It feels a little warm. A little like that first spell. A little like that lullaby.
Magic wood necklace. Feels nice.
Later that night, when these people aren't paying, or that day, when these people aren't paying attention, I'm going to cut a little tiny sliver and give it to Punchy.
As you think about it, like, the little sliver is going to fall down.
Thanks, Melissa.
You also have some nice wood.
Shadow munchy.
Coincidentally, it's a little bit heart shaped.
Yeah, okay. Right?
But you're gonna hand it upside down, so it just looks like a little bit like testicles.
I put it in my pocket.
So, Altair, I'll show you my wood if you show me your wood.
I already know what your wood looks like.
You don't want to compare our wood.
No one from Braxis here, not eligible to take advantage of. Ironically.
Can I see if your wood feels like my wood?
No.
Which one's warmer?
I just want to feel the
Are
tip of
the
it.
Are they the same length?
No.
Same girth?
No.
Look, the boys it's didn't the want to even color. Touch the wood. Is all I'm saying. Homophobes. Straight up homophobes.
Do you wear it this way or that way?
No. All right, this is a good place. I'm gonna take a bathroom break. So let's get the wood out of our system.
Yeah.
And we're delicious. All right, we're back.
Hello, like them.
Good Hello.
All right, so you guys have been.
Bless you.
Bless you.
You guys have been discussing very interesting topics of conversation as you walk through the forest.
Like shitting in a Best Buy.
Yep, that's part of it.
Shitting in a general goods store, yes. Which was conveniently next door to the chamber pot shop. So, you know, it worked out. Bungry Chubbins. Chamber Pots.
That is a beautiful name. Well done, sir.
I wish I could take credit for it. It's from a podcast. I would love to, I have to give credit where credit is due. Alright, so, you guys have started walking. You very quickly get to the edge of the forest. Because the city is actually, the settlement is not far from the Blight itself. Maybe a 30-minute walk. And ahead of you, you see just a large gray waste of what looks like petrified trees falling over.
Do I sense any specific evil?
Nothing specific, but you do sense just an overwhelming background evil.
Okay. That's fair. Do I sense anything good?
You, some of your friends around you. There's this little sliver of wood around your neck. Where's that?
And weirdly punchy somehow, but you aren't, like, she doesn't have wood, so you don't know why that is.
It's actually Punchy's heart is good. wasn't yesterday, but it is today. Somebody apparently went on a learning adventure yesterday.
Her heart grew by 3 sizes.
So she's almost up to a normal sized heart now.
Y'all, this is the pathetic, sad, metaphorical Grinch that I was as a child. The first time I heard that story, I was like, then he would die! His heart would explode!
I feel you.
I always admired how methodical the Grinch was about stealing everything.
I knew this kid growing up who was really upset by the Three Little Pigs, because he's like, but that wolf needs to eat.
It's valid.
Yeah. All right. So, as you stare off into the void, you see, even though it is bright morning, like you see, like just on the horizon, just a the horizon. There's like a point of the horizon where everything just kind of gets dimmer.
So it kind of looks like Seattle in the winter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just a cloud bank of gloom.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of home. Mm.
Where's home?
Long story.
Okay.
He comes from the elven city of Seattle. I appreciate the laughs for that. It was not good at all. The sympathy laughs are appreciated and will be noted in your final experience report for the evening. All right. So, you... Who's the first one to step in? You guys are all standing there on the edge of it.
I'll go in. I doubt I stopped. This is very interesting.
All right. You walk in, and it's almost like crossing the threshold. You just feel just the shiver up your spine. Just the first time, like, a spell failed on you. Like,
you suddenly need coffee and a warm sweater.
You feel like you were in the magic before it was cool, and that really upsets you.
You feel like what?
You were in the magic before it was cool, and that really upsets you.
Hipster reference.
I didn't get it. Not much of a hipster.
Clearly. Alright, so.
Well, it's because she's not in anything that's cool.
Alright. As you guys walk into the Blight, the ground itself, like, crunches just slightly.
Yeah,
you step on just, like, little petrified bits of wood. Crumble into dust beneath your feet. Sort of a gray soot ash covers everything. Very quickly, like as you're walking, like your pants and lower outfits have turned gray.
Is there fungi, or is it just nothing biological exists to break this stuff down?
Roll me a nature check.
+3, 18
So you kind of flip over at like one of the logs looking for fungi, and you do see stuff growing there, but it's not stuff that you're accustomed to seeing in nature. Like,
it feels wrong.
Things like scabbages and stuff like that. Mushrooms that just look sinister, if that makes sense. You're afraid to touch them for fear of getting the spores on you.
Don't eat that.
Is this just lack of moisture that's making all the...
No,
it's the evil.
It's the magical monstrosity.
Mm. I was wondering if it's leaking away all the moisture.
No, it's actually a little humid here. Yeah.
Is the ash poison?
Not if you touch it, but if you huff a bunch of it, probably. You don't want
to
do that.
I want to try to carefully collect some of these mushrooms, put them in a sack.
Mm-hmm. For nefarious purposes to be determined.
I feel like Altair is poison or using her vials to take samples.
And, you know, like samples of the ash, samples of some of these weird things that she found.
Mm-hmm. Half the party is like picking shit up off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
As we walk.
Guys, we probably want to pick up the pace. Yeah. We want to get out of here as soon as possible.
We just started. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Look at this. It's really interesting. Look at the shape on this one. Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah, and it could
listen.
Kill
let's
us.
Go. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
marching song.
Yeah. Or fight, 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 fight.
That comes later.
The orc marching song is just the Mortal Kombat theme. All right. So, even for you, Altair, like, you walk in here, your scientific curiosity is piqued, but after an hour, like, just don't even feel like. Everyone just feels this sort of.
We're just chilling out for an hour looking at shit.
No, you're walking. Okay.
Yeah, no.
But like.
But she is so angry.
you're even having a hard time getting angry at this point. Like, you just feel like just this oppressive
apathy
and despair and drudgery pushing down on you.
February in Illinois.
You feel very February in Illinois.
Or just Danville all the time.
It's sad because it's true. Yep.
It is true. I don't know if you guys have been to Rochester in February, but yeah.
I know, but I've been to North Dakota in February.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds like anywhere in the world.
I've been to Buffalo in May. It was pretty
bad. Yeah, Australia in February is pretty warm.
Anywhere in our world.
Right. Okay, so now Australia is a different world.
I'm never going to get to go there. May as well be.
February in India?
Are you ambiancing us?
What's the washing machine here?
Oh! I thought he was playing cricket noises on his phone.
Oh no.
I was like, thanks for doing my job for me, I guess. Roll me, who's leading this ragtag? It sounds like either Frigg or Punchy, just based on
we
the...
We usually let the druid take points.
But she's all distracted.
There's no nature. So yeah, she'd be useless. Let's look
at that. Wouldn't.
Roll me a survival check, Frigg.
What do I add to that?
Survival. It's a skill under wisdom.
Oh, man, I have none.
So just add your wisdom.
8! No, I have, like, no 0 wisdom modifier. I have a 10, and then a 0.
Yeah, Frigg shouldn't be...
Right. I'm strong like bull, and that is it.
So you guys are able to make a not the best pace. Like these guys keep slowing it down. Like there's a couple times where like you get stumbled up into like unexpected like there's points where like you step and like just sort of like your foot crunches through like into like a ravine that's been like kind of crusted over. Like
yeah.
Surely after some of this, Shadow Moss would realize she needs to stop digging around. We're apparently going to lead her off the cliff. No?
Would she? I don't know.
She's feeling pretty, you're feeling pretty, like, this place just reminds you of capitalism. It's like,
I feel like as someone who is...
Did you just say this place reminds you of capitalism?
She's a hit, but she wouldn't.
Yeah, that's one of my hates, is capitalism.
It's like how this place reminds you of a spell failure, this place reminds her of...
It was just a weird anachronistic comparison, and I was like,
"Punchy, this place reminds you of like when you try to kill something and it runs away and you can't kill it."
Oh. Yeah. I feel like it will be very difficult.
For this
me
place
to
reminds you of
this.
Or how I keep trying to be out there, friend, and she just yells at me all the time.
Okay, so this place reminds she you of interpersonal relationships.
Okay, well, if I keep leading us into holes, does Noman take notice and try to take charge?
You have a pretty good wisdom, right?
You could always point out or 16. Say something about it, but 16. On my own,
we
I'm not sure.
Just sang a marching song at you guys, and you're still digging around.
Yeah, we'll let her and the dog.
Can I pick Shadow Moss up?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me? Well, I mean, I don't want to, like, be offensive, but I'm probably just going to pick you up. And we're going to go, because this is bullshit.
You're probably going to have to pick up Altair, too.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, you guys are going to have to break the funk that I'm in some way by bringing it to my attention that you need me to do something. So you could have just used words. But if you pick me up, that will also help
Punchy
break the
funk. 2 points. We already used words and
you
sang them.
Our marching song, which is not the same
as
saying
words,
we need help.
And 2.
No.
We're in
not.
A funk too.
Okay.
Well, it's, and actually, it is funny though, like, these arguments are happening, like, maybe not exactly phrased like this, just because it's kind of what this place does. Like, and you guys, maybe even, it takes a minute, but you guys eventually realize that, like, this place is really very quickly wearing on you.
Mm-hmm. 15, BTW.
So Shadow Moss kind of starts pointing you around the holes in the various bits, and you guys pick up the pace.
What is happening to the microphone?
It's haunted.
Would you put it back in attention?
It just got really limp, really it's fast. Been,
like, and then tighten the. Here, you gotta tweak the side. You gotta tweak it like that. Yeah. Okay, all right. Now it's
I knew this was going to turn into a dick metaphor, but no one explicitly said it, so it just kind of eased into it.
Yeah. let the audio record show that after we all went, Caitlin leaned back, smiled, and wiped her shoulders off. I just want that on the record.
Pretty proud of it.
All right. You guys break for lunch. As you break for lunch, you hear off in the distance the sounds of creatures.
What kind of evil do I sense within 60 feet?
Nothing within 60 feet aside from this omnipresent evil, which seems stronger than the last time you detected it.
How long do we get the temporary hit points? Are they gone since we've slept?
Oh no, they stay. They just stay.
Until you lose them.
Until you hit
with something.
I get my crossbow ready. Yeah, I'm the fastest of the lot, right? I have speed of... Yeah. 30 plus 10?
Yep.
Could I run quickly and come back quickly?
Where are you going?
In the direction of the noise to figure out what it is before we get there.
Kind of. Is it around us or in front of us?
It's like off in the distance. It's
far,
kind of
too
like
far off
it's
in the distance.
Wise to split the
it's kind of coming up like over the wind.
What if you run until you can just see us and then like run in a wide circle around us?
I mean, if it doesn't wear him out like he's a 2-year-old with
if it doesn't attack us, we're going to the center. I mean, we could easily get distracted by all the things. I mean, there's evil things all over the place.
Stay the course.
And it also could just be like a trick from Flavi. They told us that the little things do tricks and to not follow them. I think we should all stay together and focus and go straight towards the center. Otherwise, we're never going to make
it. And not pick up anything else.
I was still
as long as we don't walk past a buck, we're probably fine.
Oh,
snap!
I wish
I had heard what he said. I pulled one of the
as long as we
out,
don't walk pack a,
one
past
of them that
a buck,
two
we should
of,
be fine.
And I wipe it on your shirt.
The gray stains.
Okay.
Alright, so you continue along. At some point you stop for lunch. You continue along. Dreary, boring punching. This is you were hoping for excitement and adventure. And as you get closer to the center, like, the darkness becomes, it gets darker the closer you get. And it's gotten to the point where it's kind of like the mountain. Like, it just is always there. It never seems to get any closer, but you know that you must be getting closer to it. But instead of it getting bigger, it's just getting darker the closer you get to it.
How long have we been traveling?
At this point, you've been traveling about 6 hours.
So we should be getting there?
Should be getting close, yeah.
I'm going to start looking for larger, sturdy-ish looking trees that we might be able to devise sleep hammocky spots in.
Okay. Kind of keep your eyes open for that. Mm-hmm. As you guys are walking, you hear off in the distance, you hear something go.
That's a good noise. Do I sense evil within
60 feet? Yes, you detect something coming in evil. Ahead of you, you guys see this strange creature making these strange
like a bird.
Noises.
Turkey.
That thing coming toward us is evil, and I think we should kill it.
I feel like anything in here is probably evil,
I'm
and we
just
should probably kill
that you.
It's a grotesque bulbous creature. It's on three legs.
There should be other people trying to. I think it could.
Its eyes and nose are set on tentacly stalks on its body. It's got like three primary tentacles. Some of them have little barbs in the end of it, and it's got a huge mouth possibly huge, fill the sharp teeth. It kind of looks like this.
What's the height?
Somebody knock on the door?
So it looks like...
Shoot it.
It's like dog size.
It looks size. No, it is large. It is like...
elephant size.
It is, as it gets closer, you realize that, yeah, it's not much smaller than an elephant.
Damn.
It is rushing towards you.
Towards your right.
We'll roll for initiative, because that's how we do that in this game. and I'll set up some forest here for you all in the center of the table. Pick that player's handbook and put it somewhere.
I need to get some water.
And imagine that you will, that these tiles are actually just gray and ashy. and that the trees that are on there are falling over.
You should put some lotion on that. Ashy.
There's like a big rock.
You're a big rock.
You know it.
That's why water
rock star.
I stopped myself from making a colorblind joke. When you talk about problem solved, right?
You just undid it by saying that, though.
So that's
I get credit for that.
So that's the joke you're going to make. It's a good thing you didn't make that joke. That would have been very hurtful.
That would have been sensitive. Yeah.
You got the people.
So you guys are all kind of trudging along here. Shadow Moss is over here looking at these trees that are very punchy, of course.
I should probably write down that I have a plus one magical shillelagh now.
Yeah.
Wow. You can have me if you want.
No, this is the poor choice that's going to haunt me for the next week.
What is it?
Drinking caffeine this late. 100% I'm going to regret it all week. Because it's going to mess up my already fucked up sleep schedule tonight, and then tomorrow night, and then the next night, and then all the way to the next week.
I wish caffeine worked on me like that.
I don't really have a great thing of this.
No, that sounds terrible. Like the most terrible choice ever. I'm super tired now. I shouldn't be drinking this.
You're gonna have more.
This is why you need decaf coffee.
Looks like a good person.
Nice. Actually, coffee's been making me sick lately, so.
That's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. I get about a quarter of my cup of coffee in the morning drink before I have to stop.
It's pretty ridiculous. So, Starbucks, I have the Starbucks app to get the stars and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They said this thing where if you reloaded like $20 in your card using the Chase Pay, they give you 300 free stars.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I signed up.
That's like two free drinks.
There's two free drinks, yeah. So I signed up for the Chase Pay app, loaded $20 on my Starbucks card, then deleted the Chase Pay app.
Yeah.
But got two free drinks, and it was just enough extra in there to give me a third free drink from the stars I already have. So I'm like, I'm on like Starbucks free drink city right now. Had myself a triple shot Vente Breve this morning.
Nice. I had my free one because I go to Tully's so often.
Mm.
I can drink a Breve, but like regular, they're messing me up.
Think it's the dairy?
No, because the Breve would be even worse then.
It depends on whether it's lactose or fat, right? Because there's more lactose if it's a less fat milk, because there's more milk sugars.
Well, it's half and half.
Yeah, so Breve would
both.
Be...
So I drink half and half in the morning in my regular coffee, and a Breve is half and half, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's the same thing. Just
but don't you just do your coffee with half and half versus half and half being the base of the beverage?
Well, that's Breve. Fair. Yeah, I don't put much
considering. It's considerably more happy.
That's fair. That is very fair. So, apparently... Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
We'll pop on.
Yeah.
We're unhopped. No, right. What'd you get for your initiative roll?
I haven't drawn it.
See, so. We pause it. We talked about detachable penises. Like, they should never pause the recording.
30. And do I need to add anything? I don't need
that. Initiative is at the top, yeah. I think for you it's 3.
Middle flag thingy.
Middle flag.
Middle flag. Banner.
3. Okay, 16.
16. Noman?
Total,
Frigg.
Yeah.
Frigg.
Total of 21.
Nice. Altair?
19.
Ooh, you guys are rolling good. Braxis?
16.
Shadowmoss?
12.
Wow. And Punchy?
13.
You all go first.
Nice.
Every one of you.
Let's kill this fucker before it gets a hit in.
Let's go.
We'll start with you, Frigg.
So we have like a minute or so before this thing comes at us, right?
6 seconds.
It's 60 feet away. It can probably make it there this round or next round.
So. Do I have holy water? Does anybody have holy water?
I think no. I had holy water. Yeah, as the only one
sold it.
As the only one who listened to where it was and told me to carry holy water.
Because I'm thinking I might bless up to 3 creatures of my choice within a range of 30 feet.
Ooh. You're not at 30 feet away, right? Although you can probably go.
No, she's going to bless us.
Okay.
Blessing is a good thing.
I was wondering if you're going to try and convert the creature.
Oh, okay. Bless his heart.
Oh, snap.
That's blessing an evil thing might hurt it.
Yeah? No. That's not... Chris, that's not how the mechanic works.
What, what's that?
You can't bless an evil creature and hit it. No.
Frank, how many hit points do you have now?
With my temp?
Just without your temp.
Without my temp? Mm. 25.
Okay.
Really?
Hmm. Altair hit points? You guys leveled up since last maze, man. That's all.
23.
Braxis?
25.
Shadowless?
26.
Oh, yes, 26.
Punchy. Wow, yeah. I have
37. Are you sure you rolled
the
end of the last level?
Have you leveled up?
Yeah, I rolled the hit dice together.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, hers is just really low for a tank.
Well, Paladins, I think, they get D10s. So. Druids get D8s. So it's not that far off.
Okay.
Alright, so Frigg, what you doing?
Noman, can you give me some holy water? Oh, yeah. Bless you?
You can have my holy water. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to bless me, and I guess Noman, since it's his holy water, and Punchy. Woo!
Also, I just assume that you always have the material components for your spell. So if your spell has something like holy water that it has, I just assume that you have something.
Oh, so fuck Noman. That's actually a tough choice from Braxis and Noman.
I'd give it to her.
Why?
What does Celeste do?
She has ranged attacks.
Yeah, I'm going to be able to hit this fucker before he gets to us. Well, what does it do?
Well, and you're also my chosen one, so I should protect you too. Okay, so, thinking really fast, mm-hmm. I'm going to bless me, Punchy, and Altair.
But what does it do?
When...
You just got tired.
Your husband just squirted on you.
Whenever a target makes an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the attack or the saving throw.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
So,
d4 to the attack or the saving throw.
So, whenever you roll an attack.
If you're attacking or saving yourself.
You add one of
those. You add a d4 to it. Bless you! Blessings of life! We're going into a fight. May the odds be ever in our favor. Yeah.
A question that may or may not be relevant for future. If we're in the blight, can I do anything with plants? Like, could I cast something like Entangle?
Absolutely.
Okay, they'll just die very quickly.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so Frigg blesses people. Altair, it's your turn.
Yes.
You still get your mage armor on, right?
Yes, I do. So my AC is 14.
Yep.
So how far away is this thing? 60 feet?
60 feet.
I'm definitely going to cast... Shit, I don't have it up. Scorching Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is 3 attacks at 2d6 apiece.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. Well, your attacks, don't forget to add your d4s.
I only get 1d4.
For each attack?
For every attack?
Yep. I thought
you chose one attack.
I chose one target.
Yeah. For every attack and saving throw you make until her spell goes away, you get a d4 added to it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, playing with support characters is handy, right?
It's weird. Oh yeah, that definitely hits. And then I add... I still don't know how to use this new damn sheet. Okay, so spell attack bonus is 4. So the first one's 23. I assume that hits.
Are any of them under 14?
Huh?
Are any of them under 14?
Well... 12, but I haven't added my d4
okay.
yet.
Okay, just gonna go to d4.
So 12 and 10.
Nice.
So to the 12, I add... so it's 15.
Hits.
Okay. And to the 10, I add 2.
That misses.
So I make 2 of them, mm-hmm. so that's 4d6. Mm-hmm. And then I don't add anything, right? Okay, so 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, so 14. Nice. 20 points of damage.
All right.
Fire.
Take 20 points of fire damage.
And then as a bonus action.
Mm-hmm. Braxis, you're next. And Numan, you're after Braxis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a bonus action, I will make my rapier a magic weapon.
Okay. Oh. Braxis.
Ray of Frost. I just can't remember what I add for my ranged spell attack since I'm not a caster normally.
It's your intelligence plus your proficiency.
So, not good.
Okay. It shoots wide.
Less than 10.
Okay, am I done?
You're just...
That's a good noise. That's a good noise.
I'm just excited. I'm having a lot of fun with this creature. With this noise. It's really the dog from Duck Hunt. Norman?
All right. So this is 60 feet away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my crossbow range is 80 feet.
Yep.
So okay, I can attempt hitting it.
So you pull out your crossbow, take aim.
All right. Okay. Oh, this is terrible. This is what, 7?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So do you add your crossbow bonus?
Where do I have that?
It's under your attack, which is down the center middle.
Crossbow range and light crossbow is plus 5.
Mm-hmm. 12 misses.
Yeah, okay.
Punchy?
Do I get a second one?
You get your bonus attack, but your bonus, like, unarmed attack, but it's...
But I'm too far away.
You can punch one of your friends. Are you going to stay there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm going to hold position as well.
Great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to use my crossbow.
Okay.
Is that a 20?
Mm-hmm.
Plus the 4?
Yeah, the d4.
So,
21?
21.
And then you add your crossbow attack modifier?
23.
That hits. So roll a just a d10.
Okay.
10.
Yeah.
All right. So your crossbow bolt goes wide, and then as if almost like to show you how it's done, Punchy mm-hmm. pulls out a crossbow and just aims right into one of its shoulders. Mm-hmm. And goes.
Wait, you would do another d4 of damage.
Oh, is it for damage as well?
Is it attack just and damage?
Attack and
it's
save.
An attack. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So just the hits. All right, Shadow Moss.
I am going to use my guidance cantrip on obviously Punchy with Punch Face. And then I am also.
So what's that letter do?
That allows her to roll a d4 and add the number rolled to one ability check of its choice before or after making the ability check.
Okay.
And then I am looking.
So her ability checks are like things that.
I believe I'm going to attempt to do Entangle because I don't think I have a ranged thing, but I'm trying to find what flame blade is. No, I have to actually hit. That's a melee. So, yeah. So, I will cast Entangle on the bastard.
Okay. Read me the spell description, if you'd be so kind.
Sure thing. Muffin McMonster.
Grasping weeds and vines sprout from the ground in a 20-foot square starting from a point within range. For the duration, these plants turn the ground in the area into difficult terrain. A creature in the area when you cast the spell must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained by the entangling plants until the spell ends.
You said strength saving throw? Mm-hmm. Alright, go ahead and put that up there where you want your vines to be. And then it's going to roll strength save.
It's a 20-foot square starting from a point within range. So I'm going to do like...
bar. Alright, you got a total of 12. What's your save DC?
It's my spell save DC. Where do
I... It's on the... It's in your spell sheet in the upper right-hand corner.
Spell sheet.
Upper right.
13.
So it fails. So it is tangled. It struggles. Like the vines come up. And it seems surprised to see vines.
That makes sense. All right. So now it is entangled. So all y'all can have better luck at hitting it.
Nice. Right, can you see the card? So, all right, so it's going to, on its turn, it had a bunch of cool stuff it wanted to do, but instead it's going to try to get out of these fucking vines. So it uses its action to make a strength check. The DC you said was 14?
13.
Got a 16, so.
Damn.
So it breaks free. However, it can only move half speed through the vines, so it moves up. 3 squares, if you'd be so kind.
Let's see if we can align those. So, 1, 2, 3?
Yep. So, it's just outside of it. Alright, so, however, you did effectively stop it from doing anything to you this turn, so great job, team. And we'll go back to Frigg.
Yes, well, Matt, I will... Bless the other half of the team.
Hold on, is bless a concentration spell?
It is, I think.
It should say on the card.
Ooh. First level enchantment, casting time 1 action.
Does it say duration concentration?
Up to 1 minute.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a C. Is that
mean? Yeah, sorry, it means concentration. So you only have 1 concentration spell at a time.
Oh, I have to concentrate to keep it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So pretty much you can cast other spells that aren't concentration spells. You can attack, you can run. However, if you get hit, you have to roll a saving throw to keep it up. And if you cast another concentration spell, you lose it. So
okay. Then I'm gonna shoot it with my crossbow.
That sounds like a good plan.
Except I only rolled a 9, but I am blessed, so I add a d4 to that.
What'd you get?
11.
Did you add your stuff?
I rolled a 5 plus a 4 from the crossbow plus my 2 that I rolled.
Oh wait, it's restrained, isn't it?
Not anymore.
You have advantage. Oh no, it's not anymore. You're right. All right, so it's you miss. Crossbow bolt goes wide. All turn.
I'm really used to playing Nerskala. There's no way for me to do 2 actions in a turn, right?
No.
Okay. Man, Nerskala's bad fucking ass.
You're a 14th level sorcerer. Yeah, you're bad.
Okay, well, I blew my only 2 second levels in a bit of misuse of resources. It's definitely what happened. So I will cast Burning Hands, and the creature must make a...
What's the range? It's a cone,
that's
right?
What I was just... It might not work.
It's a 15-foot cone, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. 15-foot cone. So where am I right now?
You're 45 feet away from it.
Fuck all that shit. In that case... I will cast Firebolt.
At a d4?
Do I have to?
No, you hit.
Okay. I was like, do I have to? That's only 1d10. Mm-hmm. Fuck. 3 points of damage.
3 points of fire damage. 3 less points than it had at the start of its turn. I'm helping. Braxis. Yay! And then Noman, followed by Punchy.
This time, longbow. Mm-hmm. 10.
Yes, continue. Noman?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, real quick, is there cover anywhere?
There's some fallen trees over there.
If I hide...
There's a little bit of a ridge you could go down behind.
Would that give me advantage on hits?
No, not on the hit. It would give it disadvantage to attack you.
I'm just going to move to the flank.
Yeah, I would like to hide as well, if possible.
So where are you moving to?
I don't know. Who am I? I'm here right now.
You're right there.
Okay. Could I just hide a little bit? Just there in the ridge or whatever?
You want to go down the ridge?
I guess.
Roll me a dexterity check.
Clearly, I couldn't. Nope, I guess I fall down the ridge to my death.
Right, you're prone. You're hidden behind the ridge. You'll just have to spend half your move to get up next turn.
I'm going to go over there, but stand at the top of the ridge.
Okay.
Now my turn, I guess.
Yep.
How do I use the key points again?
So you can use those for abilities that you have.
Such as?
There's a lot of them. Let me see your sheets.
You should have 3 key abilities that you got at level 2. One that let you dash or disengage. One that let you take the dodge action. Two extra attacks.
Okay.
Such a know-it-all, aren't you jealous?
He also plays a monk.
He is Kel.
So those things that you just said.
Okay, I don't know what my key abilities are yet.
Let's after this session, let's get those written on your character sheet somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. For now, I'll find my dice.
You're very nice. Very.
No, it's not the nice one that looks like the heavy one, but the one that seems to be rolling a little bit better.
Where the hell did it go?
Never mind. I'll find it later. Anyway, light crossbow. I'll see if I can get it. I don't. It's 2 plus whatever it is, which is not going to make any difference. Thank you.
Punchy, I apologize on behalf of all of us. We are terrible, but you are great.
You guys don't usually arch.
We're bad at ranged things.
Okay, I'm going to move back.
Okay.
Right next to...
Cowards!
Yes. Punchy, your turn.
I'm going to use the crossbow again.
Sure.
13.
Mm-hmm. Plus your crossbow bonus.
15.
That hits.
And then
9 points. Punchy is lighting this creature up. Shot after shot.
Don't you have like a +4 as well?
Yeah, right? I did it.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm. That's the second or third hit that your bless has helped. Shot him off.
Yes. My only ranged attacks are out of range, so I'm going to attempt to entangle again.
Okay.
Again, doing that for our farm.
Nice.
So that's just inside there.
It got I think it fails again. It got a 12.
Yep, it fails.
It is restrained once again. It's its turn, so it's going to spend its action to try to be unrestrained.
Y'all are welcome, BT Dub.
Mm-hmm.
Rolled a 2, so...
now we're cooking with gas.
So it is restrained.
Yay!
You are doing very well at locking this creature down. Yeah. Fred? And everybody, for all of your attacks this round, you'll get advantage because it is restrained.
So was that its action? I was trying to
get out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I channel divinity without breaking my blessing concentration?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I want to turn the faithless.
Mm-hmm.
So I present my holy symbol as my action, and it has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
On a failed save, the creature is turned for 1 minute or until it takes damage.
Okay.
A turned creature must spend its turn trying to move as far away from you as it can.
Great. 7.
What is it rolling against?
Your spell save DC, which is your 8 plus your charisma modifier plus your proficiency bonus. So you don't roll anything for it. It's a flat number. So what's your charisma modifier?
2.
So 10, and then your proficiency modifier is 2. I think. It's at the top.
The proficiency bonus?
Yeah, proficiency bonus.
Right underneath your name.
Oh, it is another 2.
So 12. And I think at the top of your spell sheet, there should be a spot for that. So anyway, it fails. So it's going to attempt to run away once it gets itself unrestrained.
So its next turn is not going to attack us. It's going to try to run away.
Yes, well, unless
first it's going to try and untangle.
Unless it takes damage, then it will. Mm-hmm. Then it will stop.
So that's kind of a dumb thing for me to do, considering the order we were going in.
It gives us time.
But I'm only what, level 3.
Still learn.
Still learn. Still learn. Altair.
So yeah, I show my.
All right, so it's been straining against the vines, trying to get towards you. Now it's like kind of like trying to turn away from
get
you.
Get away!
It like sees your holy symbol. Your holy symbol shines forth with light and wind. And wind, yeah. So a wind blows out of it, and the creature kind of and it's trying to turn and run.
Scared of all those warning shots.
You know,
yeah,
the first warning shot is like, the second warning shot, but that fourth warning shot.
And then they've got ugly jewelry, oh my gosh.
Altair, what you doing?
Can I do anything but stand up and get out of this trap that I've fallen myself into?
That's your half your move to stand up, and then you still move and you can do whatever you want.
Okay. So then I will cast Fireball
again. Mm-hmm. I'll create that
new D4. Natural.
Nice. Mm.
Both of those. And not bad.
13
to hit.
13
damage.
Right.
It takes it.
Fire damage.
It immediately stops trying to turn away and it turns back.
Sorry, I can't not hit it.
No, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you guys are still a new team. You're learning these things. You'll eventually become a well-oiled machine, but for now, you're sort of like a rusty.
We're still the JV team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's our distance now?
It's about 45 feet away. Praxis.
Arrows.
Followed by Newman and Punchy.
Well, Ray of Frost. Miss.
Newman.
All right. Light crossbow again.
Oh, you have advantage.
Oh yeah.
No.
Miss.
Oh, okay.
Your dice are against you this night.
Plus 1.
What?
Because I got
10
two
and.
And negative 1.
Is it plus 5? No, it's not plus 5.
Yeah, plus 5.
15.
Yeah, hits.
Okay, cool.
So roll damage?
That's a d8. Okay.
Like 10 speed.
Mm-hmm. You need to find a d8. I think it's this one. Right. Okay.
This is the softest one.
This is a very soft
2.
Alright, do you add anything?
Is it attack bonus?
Oh, nope. So just a d8. So 2 points.
Okay.
Punchy? No one actually got a little hit in.
Teensy baby hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me and Punchy. 15?
Another hit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the D.
Yeah, maybe you're liking this whole
Lilith
thing.
What is
Lilith?
3. I blessed you.
3? 3 points. Oh, I want to say that's another blessing hit, by the way. She would have gotten a 13 and missed, but she got a 15 and hit. For a 17.
Praise Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
It is now bloodied.
Nice!
So it's past its halfway point. It still hasn't even made it to you guys yet. It's struggling. It really wants to end you.
It really does.
Shoma?
Like a lot.
Its tentacles are whipping in the air.
Like it just
gets scared.
Like a wacky way to inflate an alarm guy.
Okay, the only range weapon I have is a sling. So
throw rocks
I'm
at
gonna
it.
Throw rocks at it, yeah. 19.
Nice.
I throw a rock.
My rocks are great, guys. I throw the best rocks.
You get your rocks off.
4 points of damage.
Wait. Yeah. You don't have a...
No, I don't have anything to add to the...
Hey, it made its strength.
Boo!
Alright, so move it forward to the edge of the thing. Once again, it can't. It's now 30 feet away from you all.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Further from you, though.
Frig?
Wait a minute, why am I here?
Oh, that's
Altair. Yeah,
that's me.
Oh, that's you?
Oh, yes, supposed to be me.
Which one's Altair?
Swap that with Altair.
Okay.
Is this Altair?
Must be.
I'm gonna shoot it with my crossbow. Ooh, 14?
That hits?
Oh, okay.
You get the blessing bonus, too.
Oh, yeah. But I already hit it. I do 2 whole points.
You guys are pinging it down.
Mm-hmm.
Altair?
We're annoying it to death.
Then Abraxas, then.
I'm actually going to cast Chromatic Orb on it.
Okay.
What does that do? Change its color?
Wait, isn't Altair polka dot?
Punchy's polka dot.
Oh, okay.
So, 22 to hit.
Hits, yes.
3d8. 15. And I don't add anything to my spells, right?
No.
Okay. 15.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Braxis?
Am I 30 feet from it?
Possibly. If you move up, you'd have to move up 15 feet.
Yeah.
There you are.
So I can't get to it this round at full movement.
No.
Okay. Then bow.
Don't worry, it'll come to you.
Yay!
There not if I can help it.
So that's a D8. So 8.
8.
Nice.
Great. Noman followed by Punchy and Shadow.
Okay. I can move up to 20 feet of it, right? I have speed of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 feet is from here. This is 20 feet? Or this is
20 feet? That looks like 20 feet there.
Okay. I move and now it's within my crossbow as well as dart ranges.
Okay,
and
so you
I have two attacks, right?
Yep.
I mean, it'll attack me first.
So you're going to throw some darts?
Why not? I might as well. Okay, first let me see if I can get anything. I can't. 5 plus whatever it is.
Alright, your second thing?
Ooh, yes. 18.
That'll hit?
Yeah, good. Okay, 18 plus 5. And that's d4 plus 3.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try that. Maybe I'll get something. 2 plus 3.
So 5?
Yeah.
It's a little closer to death. Punchy.
Crossbow.
Plus 3. Yeah, go. Roll your damage.
7
points. As this thing gets closer, you guys just see it's like oozing this black, viscous liquid like you saw on the manticore.
Don't touch it!
Shadow Moss.
Since I can, I might as well try Entangle again, because if it's entangled, then we all get advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, I'm going to try to cast Entangled right there.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So it rolls a saving throw?
Yeah.
It got an 18, so...
Yeah. Oh. So it is not entangled.
So it slows at half speed, so... It's turn! It's within range of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It never thought this day would come. as it gets closer, as it starts running towards you, Noman, with its tentacles flailing, you hear a voice in your mind saying, "You're going to make a fine snack."
I'm haunted like, what?
So it moves up onto Noman. It makes 3 attacks. Mm-hmm. So we'll say colors that look orange to me will be the tentacles. And then
And then black purple.
Ooh. How many 20s did you just roll?
Alright, so the 3 I rolled missed. So it missed with one of its tentacles.
Good.
One of its tentacles hit AC 25.
Ouch.
So you take... you take 3 bludgeoning damage and 1 piercing damage. So that's 4 points.
Okay.
So take him out of your temp hit points first.
I don't know.
Oh, where he doesn't have any temp because he didn't want to touch the
ball. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. You're absolutely right. I took those off the wrong character.
Yeah.
Who do I owe temp hit points to? Punchy. Sorry.
So wait. What? So I take 4 off?
You take 4 points, yep.
Okay.
I need you to make a... Oh no, you were just grappled. So it picks you up with one of its tentacles. this thing that's looming over you, like I said, is nearly the size of an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes with that tentacle and takes a big bite out of you, rolling a natural 20. Oof. So you're going to take some damage here, my friend.
Yeah.
And I need you to make me a constitution saving throw.
You're going
to
get poisoned.
What is that? Is that a d20 as well?
It's a d20 and then your constitution modifier.
Do you have resistance to poison? You're a monk.
Where is the constitution modifier?
What level?
Plus 1, I think.
Oh, shit.
So, okay.
I can't help you unless I can touch
I have 9 plus 1.
Okay, you fail.
Mm-hmm.
You are diseased.
About.
You are poisoned. So when you're poisoned, you have disadvantage in your attack rolls and ability checks. So.
Okay. How many hit points was that?
And I didn't tell you.
Okay.
Because he hasn't rolled enough dice yet.
Okay.
That is 20 points.
Oof. Okay.
Are you up?
I'm at 4 points.
Oh, still awake.
Yeah.
That's why we have potions. What's your maximum hit points?
24.
24?
Yeah, minus 20.
What is, the first hit hit you for 4, right?
Oh, there was another one, yes. Okay, so that's exactly 0 then. Oh,
okay, so you're out.
All right.
So he takes a big bite of Noman, and Noman goes limp. it seems to say. Alright, puts up Frigg. It's still holding Noman and its tentacle.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a big bite, and then, like, Noman's just limp, and, like, just some blood just pours out of him.
I guess I'm gonna have to attack with my hand axes and try to cut that tentacle off so I can drag that idiot away from him. Can you do any healing spells yet? I have to still touch him.
So you move
the
up.
The fact that you touched me whenever, but I wasn't looking at you, was really disturbing.
Wasn't me? What are you talking about?
I can.
She caught me on camera. Wasn't me.
I can cure wounds and I can lay on hands, but I gotta touch him both. So I gotta attack. The tentacle that has no more. With my hand axe, and that's 21.
Hits.
Okay, plus.
Roll damage.
20. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was all like, add more shit to add.
Yeah. You did very well.
D6. And I'm double doing the handy, mm-hmm. So I can roll for both of them, right? Shut up!
It's like yes, this. You roll for both of them.
Double doing the handies.
As you're attacking.
Are you milking others? Because I mean, I know what you're trying to do, but it looks like.
It looks like he's getting some dicks.
No, I mean,
I'm jerking off a thousand angels.
That's what
he's trying to harvest the ceiling dicks.
That's what he was trying to go
just
for.
Just roll your dick.
He really did this at first, and I was like, are you milking udders?
That's what you're missing by not having sex with me.
I didn't understand my damage thing skills. D6 mm-hmm. plus 4 parenthesis 6.
Oh, that's a
G.
It's
no, it was an S for
slashing.
Slashing.
That's
that should be an S.
Yeah.
I think we went over that in one of the other sessions.
Somehow it looks like a 6.
I have terrible handwriting. Let's move on.
No, this is my handwriting.
I do also have terrible handwriting.
Okay, so 7 with one axe and 9 with the other axe. Do I sever this tentacle?
You get a good chunk of it. It looks like... I'm actually going to make it roll something. I'll make it roll saving throw to avoid dropping. He drops him!
If he drops him, am I able to drag him away?
That would be another. That'd be another. Another time. You drop him. Noman, you take a failed death save.
Oh shit! Oh.
What?
So mark an X off on one of your failures for your death saves as you thump into the ground.
Mm. Take that damage. There's nothing here.
Yeah, I need to reprint your sheet.
All right,
you can just cross through. Yeah. Altair.
Right.
Like a baby
draft.
So yeah, draft. Noman's already dead. I haven't taken any damage.
He's not dead. He's just
on death's door. I can move 25 feet, so would you move me 25 feet closer to the creature? That's really close.
Since she had to move up a ridge, could she move the whole thing?
I counted that for 10 feet, so. That's 30 feet, where she's at.
Okay, so I don't weapon fight very often. Mm-hmm. If they come within your range, do you get a reaction?
They leave your range.
Only if they leave your range. Mm-hmm.
Alright, so you've moved up. What you doing?
Alright, well, this is probably a really stupid plan.
Alright, so we got you next, and then Lumen.
But we're going to go for it. We're going to try Chromatic Orb again. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll roll a natural thing. Nope. Definitely hit. 17 plus 4 plus 2. So that's... 7,
11, 13 points of damage. Okay. It's gushing liquor right now. It looks close to death.
Braxis, if it doesn't go towards me, I'm going to stab it.
I'm going to flank to the side of it and stab it with a short sword. 19 nice. Plus 4, so yes.
Roll damage and sneak attack.
So 37 sneak is. Wait. Name right down. Oh. 15 total.
Nice.
Okay.
Fine.
Still up.
Oh my god!
Okay. I have some questions.
Noman, roll me a d20.
20.
Holy yay! Shit! Yay! You are back at one hit point, my friend.
Nice! That never
shake
happens.
It off.
One hit point?
You pop point. Back up.
That happened to me in my first session here.
Okay, I have an action.
No, that was your that was your turn.
That's you. All right.
Good.
Punchy.
I'm trying a crossbow again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 20. Okay.
13 plus 4, 17.
Oh, maybe I should put it here. Where my exit point
is.
Which is where it's supposed to be.
Are you raging?
Yeah.
Nope.
No. No,
she's crossing
weird to rage with a crossbow.
How do you want to do this?
Yay!
It was at one.
I know. I knew. I could see from your face that I was like, oh, fucking one.
Is there any way that I could, instead of using the crossbow, just grab the arrow and just punch the air?
Yes.
To like stab it.
Oh, I love it.
All right, so you go to shoot it, you're like, fuck this. And you run up, vault, kind of just kind of push off of Frigg over Noman, and then just stab, come right down into what you think is its primary head, and it falls over dead.
I love you so much.
Oh, Grilla's blessing to agree with you. Oh, nice.
Good kill, team. Good kill.
I would like to say you all listened to the advice you were given and followed it to the letter. Like, as a DM, I've never been prouder.
Hit it from far away! Hit it from far away!
Hit it from far away and, like, plink it down before it gets to you. And you guys are like, I think I'll hit it from far away and plink it down before it gets to me.
Does
I have a healing potion, surprisingly enough. I have exactly one potion.
And we should probably save it since
he has one going to... healing point.
You can take a rest.
Yeah, we can. Okay. I'm saying it's you should save it. Also, I have at least one ability to do a healing thing, so we can give him at least some, and then he can rest.
Yeah, so, what time is it in game?
It's you've been at it 6 hours, so it's probably you left it in the dawn, so it's probably like 1 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're probably not ready to. How much longer to the center?
You guys maybe an hour or two out, you think?
I think it might be a good idea to just go ahead and try to
do a long rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can. So, do I see any good trees that might be a good place for us to
stay? You see some, like, you see some ones that are not great, but, like, you could, like, nestle in between them.
Okay. Then I will point that out to everybody, and I will cast healing. Which one is better, healing word or actually probably lesser restoration?
You long rest, you get all your
okay. Never mind.
Well, he's diseased though, and you have lesser restoration.
Well, that was another question I was going to have. Can I, like, since you told me about the stuff before, like, do I get the chance to change my spells before we were going into this thing?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And roll me a medicine check also if you want
to. Yeah,
I can
do
also
that.
Cure disease with laying on hands.
Oh, okay. You do that.
That's way better, yeah.
All right.
Well, no, you don't know that he's diseased yet, though, just so you know.
Like, well, he was bit, so we assume because...
That's why I say roll me a medicine check.
Okay. 15.
Okay, yeah, you realize... Like, you see the bite, you see, like, these, like, sort of black, inky, like, veins kind of coming out of the wound. And they're, like, they even seem to be sort of magically spreading, as you, just even as you look at them. So you lay your hands on Noman.
I mean...
It was the little push-up at the end that really sold it.
We know you've been only married a month, but sheesh, y'all.
He's just like, ow.
Alright, so everybody gets all their hit points
back. My own doing.
And you guys rest.
Like only he took damage.
Yeah.
So, you said fries. Earlier purify food and drink would get rid of poison, but
not
only...
the poison, but it would, like, if it's on the battlefield, you can use it to, like, clear it up.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Alright.
So what are we doing? Resting?
Resting. Resting. You guys are you're tuckered out from your 6 hours of walking and your 60 seconds of
It wasn't even 60 seconds.
It was like 24 seconds.
Yeah, 24 seconds.
You're like, okay, we're done.
Well,
no one nearly died.
Good right, job.
So 6 hours or 8 hours later, so the sun's down, it's nighttime. Most of you can see in the dark anyway, so it's not that big of a hindrance.
Well, I was going to say, do we want to just rest the whole night through? Just do a double rest and then do it tomorrow morning?
Considering you don't know what we're getting into and he almost died. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think we go tomorrow morning.
So I'll set my alarm spell. We'll trade watches.
And considering all the players were working today, maybe this would be a good stopping point.
Yeah.
I got a stopping point. Okay.
So we set the alarm spell, but because we're double resting, that means nobody's going to take a negative effect for staying up for watch, right?
Right. So it's the fifth fool's.
Oh, we get back to...
Yeah, you're back to the back. And the darkness is still there, 2 hours off. After a few hours of walking, you get to a point where you realize that this darkness, which has grown darker, is you get to a point where it's a tangible thing.
Do I sense specific evil?
This is the concentration of it.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad we brought you to tell us that this is evil.
It could be a natural phenomenon, but I'm telling you it's an evil thing.
So what do you do?
How well can we see in the gloom? Because we do all have dark vision, but it's a magical effect. So what is our...
Not very far, maybe 5 or 10 feet in front of you.
Mm-hmm. That's not alone.
So what's the plan here?
Like,
we came in. This place sucks.
We're just supposed to find the heart and then
kill it.
There were no plans after that, right?
Well, we asked and she was like, it's metaphorical. So
we don't know what the heart is. We just have to keep pushing forward.
We're going to find it and then play it by ear.
We gotta try and get in there and kill whatever.
I'm sure in my bag I have some sort of mushroom or something preserved that's not from the blight.
Mm-hmm.
I pull it out. It's still, I preserved it.
Yeah.
So I have like a fresh one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take it by the stem and stick it in and pull it out.
Okay.
Does it look any different? Nope. Oh, okay. Well, then I'll put the mushroom back in my hand and put my hand through and pull it back out.
Feels gloomier. But doesn't
like
actually...
Like damp and cold.
Yeah, exactly.
If I do this, does it move?
No.
Those we still have, like, glowy rocks or something from one of the sewers, right? Yep.
Ooh, yeah! Throw a sunstone in there!
Yeah, well, I'm not going to throw, but I'm going to put it into the dark and see if it actually lights up and it'll be useful.
It doesn't seem to have any effect on it.
On the sunstone or the darkness?
The darkness.
So whenever she puts it in there, we can't see it anymore?
You can see the sunstone, like, but she puts her hand in, like, more than, like, well, she doesn't have very long.
Yeah.
So you can see it, but, like, instead of the darkness growing brighter, the sunstone grows dimmer.
I'm going to set it on the ground and, like, push it in further with a stick.
It very quickly disappears.
Okay.
I'm going to walk in.
I'm going to suggest something that I know you guys might not love, but let's do a kindergarten rope.
What's kindergarten?
Re-calamity.
Thanks, man.
Basically, let's all make knots on this rope and then hold on to it so we don't get separated since we can only see a little bit in the distance.
I think it's probably a good idea.
Can we ask Williamette what she makes of this? Because she has better senses than us. Just what she observes. I don't want to spend a spell slot to do this, so maybe someone else can do
it. Can't you do it once per day? Or?
Well, I have 3 spells a day.
Oh, it's a spell. Okay.
Yeah.
No. Willamette, like, sniffs it and kind of goes, but does, like, but looks committed to following it.
Yeah, dog's not going to think anything different of this than we are.
Oh, just if she smelled something, just any information.
I'm ready to walk in.
There's nothing else we can do than walk in. Let's do this. Let's.
Okay.
Kindergarten, bro.
Wait, should we leave a note?
No, we're already.
Who would read this note?
If we die, and
no one's gonna come looking for us.
No one will come looking for us, but if other people are like, we need to stop the blight too, we can leave a note sharing what we know, so then maybe they don't get it too and then kill.
Let's just say, the number of people stupid enough to do what we're about to do is vanishingly small.
I think it's a great idea.
If they are going
to do it. And maybe this is something that you've been like preparing all day.
Oh, well, if we did double rest, then I would have wounded, so okay.
Yeah.
I will leave this detailed note under this rock.
Like, in some sort of, like, unbreakable, like, vial.
With, I don't know, how many sunstones did I have? I don't have it in my notes anymore.
Don't waste
a couple.
Oh, yeah. I will pile a distinctive rock formation so that people are like, that doesn't look normal. And then they'll investigate the rocks, and they'll be like, oh, they died, so we will not repeat these mistakes, and we will successfully end the blight.
I love it.
Oh, they died.
Fairfield only wants this so we can work it into future things. Yep, 100%.
I think it's a great idea, and I like
extra it. XP for me.
You said that she had a destiny, so she can't die here.
Unless that's her destiny.
Doesn't seem like much of a
and
prophecy.
And what we learned helps somebody else. Look, I don't.
Yeah, maybe
know.
That note is her saving the world
by leaving an informative note for the next shift. Just FYI, this
if you didn't document it. It didn't happen.
Right. Let's not talk about work things right now.
All right. So Braxis walks in with a rope tied to him. I hope.
I walk in behind him.
Alright, you leave your note with your distinctive rock pile.
And I'm following Altair to protect the chosen one.
Fair enough.
Yep. What do we hear, see, and smell past the threshold?
You feel cold, damp, despair pressing down upon you. The darkness feels like a tangible malfeasance that's pushing in on you.
Do I feel any specific evil?
You feel the evil of your nemesis.
Like, can I pinpoint the direction?
Like the way you're going, you feel the presence of Flavi.
Okay, so we're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going that way. It's that way.
And you guys walk further and further, and...
Are we at zero visibility?
You're like maybe 2 feet visibility. Like, oh, okay. As you walk, Alicia, your senses tell you that you've reached the apex of it, and sitting there on the ground is a little shard of metal.
Oh. It was a shard. Don't touch it. Whatever you do, don't touch it.
Well, that is the focal point of the evil, so we need to do something.
Well, yeah, but touching it would be terrible. Can I roll Arcana on it? Have I ever seen anything like that?
I'm going to throw a rock at it.
I'm going to poke it.
Hey, that's a good idea.
I don't care.
What'd you get?
Nothing.
You are gobsmacked. You can detect magic.
No, I can't because I don't have it prepared.
Well, it would just be magic.
Like, we already know it's magic.
You have no idea what could, like, how shard this small could do what it's doing.
You have to rub salt in the wound. I know.
Does perception help?
We got your roll.
Again, I would like to throw a rock at it. Mm-hmm.
You throw a rock at it. It bounces off of it.
If you get close to it, does it feel hot or cold? Okay.
I'm old again.
Then it looks like just a little shard.
But my divine sense is telling me.
You don't add anything.
Let's put it in a bag.
I have zero.
One of us have some sort of tong type implement or chopsticks?
I have thieves' tools. I'm sure there's something like that in there. And I'm double proficient, so I could probably pick it up like chopsticks.
An unbreakable vial.
I have stone cutting and smithing.
Do I have an unbreakable vial? How big is the shard?
It's very small.
Oh.
I have pretty ribbons.
Because we had an unbreakable vial at one point for putting the heart into. I don't know if we still have it.
We also have thick gloves that we
like. It's maybe like that big
handling the other.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
wait. Do you still have a mushroom that you can touch to it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's touch it with various things and see what happens.
You throw a rock at it. Nothing happens.
Nothing happens with rock.
I rub your dick on it.
I touch it with the mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, does the mushroom look all right?
Mushroom doesn't react to it.
Ooh! Okay, I touch it with my wood. And I'm serious.
So you take your sliver.
Yeah.
You reach out and you poke it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ah!
Oh
god.
And if that gets a reaction, I'm touching it with my holy symbol next.
It does. There's like a spark.
And
the wood actually kind of like splinters.
Is it broken? My wood is broken and disenchanted now?
No, you can still feel it, but like it reacted like it wasn't strong enough for what it's touching.
Mm. Don't you have a much bigger stick?
You do have a much bigger stick.
We can all touch our wood to it.
No, or we could try putting it in something. None of us touching it directly.
Ooh, pour your holy water.
See if it's possible.
Pour your holy water on it.
I was about to piss on it, but
still a good idea.
No one's got his cock halfway up. He's like, "Oh, holy water! Yes, that's what I was going for." Holy water.
Or were you gonna ask me to bless you?
That's the stream, bro.
That's
holy water.
I'll use up my holy water.
I am not in favor of just moving it, because what if we just take the blight to a whole new area?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, too.
Yeah, but the thing is, we can find out whether it is movable in the first place. Like, that...
Well, let's pour holy water on it, and then let's poke it with my... one of my daggers.
You pour holy water over it. The holy water, like, reacts violently with it, like sodium and water. There's, like, just a kind of hiss of steam, and, but you do feel, like, this palpitation in the air.
Mm. Is there any lessening of the gloom?
It feels like it for just a second, then it comes back.
Mm.
Do we know how to make holy water?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I, as a paladin, know how to make holy water?
I don't think so.
So while they're doing that, I do want to use magic weapon to make one of my daggers magical as a +1, and I want to stab it.
Tink.
Doesn't happen. Okay. So it's just.
Holy
the
thing.
Positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should hit
what
it with
if
your stick.
I piss on it? Because
Were you gonna? Were you gonna touch it with your holy symbol?
I am actually worried. worried that my holy symbol won't be enough, and I don't want to destroy my holy symbol on accident.
I have a spare.
He does!
He does have a spare. He does legitimately have a spare.
Well, then let me use yours. Mine was given to me by my mother, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Only if you'll replace it. It cost me like a silver.
That's easy for her.
Okay. So Braxis pulls out like this like necklace of holy symbols and flips through them.
It's like a charm book.
Like the guy in the mummy.
Yes, exactly.
And he gives it to you for extra blessing in, I guess, before.
Oh yeah, can she bless an item?
I'll say so.
Okay, so you bless the holy symbol and then touch it?
If I can bless things, surely I can make holy water.
This is a flavor thing.
Okay.
I'll look at the mechanics of that later.
Okay. Alright, so I'm gonna... You know what? I'm gonna pray for a minute. And then I'm just gonna, like, go for it. Like, guys, be prepared for I don't know what, but I'm gonna slam that holy symbol down on top of that thing and be all pious and prairie and shit.
Maybe you shouldn't keep your hand down. Just think it.
Well, I'm like...
Alright, so, she does this, and several things happen all at once.
Okay, here we go. Finally, unlocked it. Unlock the secret. Unlock the DM.
The darkness subsides for a moment. Blue sky above you. You feel the warm light of Lilith on you, like a strong breeze keeping the darkness at bay.
Praying.
You hear a voice. All of you. But you recognize it as the voice of your goddess, Lilith. She says, you've done well, but you have much further to go. She says, you must find the creator of this and have it unmade. She says, the roots go deep, and unfortunately you must follow them. You have my blessing. And with that, the light dissipates. You guys feel an incredible wave of nausea pour over you as trees start growing up around you.
Like good trees or bad
trees?
Good trees.
Oh, yeah. All around you, these huge trees start piling up, and the little shard kind of raises into the air, and a vial appears around it.
Oh!
And it lands in your hand. And then the darkness completely dissipates. And you guys find yourself standing in a small forest clearing on a warm, sunny day.
Here's your holy symbol back.
I take it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yes, Altair? Yes, Kayla. You're making a face.
Are you metagaming right now?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, because I've been here. Never mind.
Okay.
You know, multiple timelines can exist at once.
Obviously. Okay. So I'm going to look around and see if we can see light outside of the small area of trees.
Can I just say, now we're all on a mission from God?
Inspiration point, Alicia.
I already have.
And as you guys are looking around at all these new trees, you see something kind of scampering towards you.
Is it evil?
It's a much, much larger than normal otter. And he's holding a rock. And he looks up at you all and he says, who are you? And that's where we're going to end the session.
I fucking knew it! But is he evil?
Otters can't be evil.
What did we talk about last time we saw each other?
How evil seals are.
Those were sea otters.
Christopher Fairfield, I knew that's what's gonna happen. I knew it!
We have to go deeper.
You want to share with the rest of the group so they know what you're picking?
Are we back in time?
Yeah, we went back in time!
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
To the talking.
We are now before the cataclysm.
But the important part is talking animal time!
I didn't know what timeline we'd go to, but I knew. I just had a feeling that we were gonna go far forward or far back in time. One or the other.
Shit, now we're never going to get a reward.
Each of you get 300 experience points.
But all of our, if you consider inflation, all of our money goes a lot more now. Sorry, what about XP?
Only 300?
You guys get 300 experience. That's a lot for your level.
That's 1501,
is that 1751. Right? 1751. Yeah. Okay. I'm used to getting 6,000 a session now.
Yeah, well, if you fought any of those things now, you wouldn't last around.
Push me like a bug.
That's fair. You'd be like,